We interrupt our regularly scheduled programming to bring you Tri-Cities Prep Jaguar Sports Action on 100.7 FM KHSS. And now, here's the voice of the Jaguars, Brett Powers, on 100.7 FM KHSS.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're coming to you under the lights about an hour and a half south of Tri-Cities from the beautiful town of Hefner on this lovely warm late September evening where the 0-3 Tri-Cities Prep Jaguars are trying to get their first win of the season. But they've got a long row to hoe as they are going against the 3-0 Hefner Mustangs. And Hefner delivered a sound blow against the Jaguars last year to open last year's season in Hermiston. Jaguars, in theory, were playing a home game, but Hefner made short work of the Jaguars, winning 47-7 to open their 2014 campaign. That prep team, as you may remember, ended up going 7-3. We already have the three losses this year, and the Jaguars, if they're hoping to equal last year's records, is going to have to do it against the state runner-up in the Hefner Mustangs. When we return, we'll have a short breakdown of the Mapton game last week, as well as the Hefner game last year, and what we might be expecting from the Mustangs this evening and from the Jaguars if they're going to succeed against Hefner. We'll be back with more. You're listening to Jaguar Football on 100.7 FM, KHSS.
Hey, Dad, where do superheroes come from?
Oh, that's an easy one. They come from the Home Loan Center. That's just what we do at the Home Loan Center, help people buy homes of their dreams.
So if people want to get help from a superhero dad, they just go to the Home Loan Center and talk to you?
That's right.
You're awesome, Dad!
If you need a superhero to help you get started on buying a new home, call Tim Appleby at 527-3353 or online at gobestloan.com.
A division of American Pacific Mortgage. Tim Appleby, license 31404.
Are you suffering from Pepe's salad withdrawal? I mean, when was the last time you had one of those crisp, delicious Pepe's salads? Perhaps you had one at the Catholic School's fair booth Labor Day weekend. Well, my friend, Pepe's salads will be available for a limited time the first weekend in October at Sausage Fest, along with delicious sausage, a beer garden, dancing, and loads of fun for the entire family. Sausage Fest, the first weekend in October at DeSales Catholic School, 919 East Sumac, Walla Walla.
In the mid-1990s, when Tri-Cities Prep was still but a dream for many, the great Monsignor Desmond Dillon had a vision for the school. He said that he wanted Tri-Cities Prep to be a place where students can come to know God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Since welcoming its first students in 1998, these words have been woven into the fabric of Tri-Cities Prep, reminding us that, first and foremost, Tri-Cities Prep is a Catholic high school, a community of faith. To learn more, visit tcprep.org. That's tcprep.org.
This portion of the broadcast brought to you by Roach and Bishop Law Offices, located in Pasco, providing over 50 years of quality service in the practice of personal injury law, DUI defense, family law, estate planning, and probate. Roach and Bishop Law Offices, proud sponsors of Jaguar Athletics.
Do you know someone outside our listening area who wants to hear the game? Now they can listen on the web at khssradio.com.
And we are back live here at Hefner. I'd say Hefner High School, but we are actually on the other side of town. We're on the Hefner side of Hefner City or Morrow County Fairgrounds. An interesting configuration. We have the football field out in front of us where the players are lined up on their respective 45-yard lines while we're singing the national anthem. And on the direct opposite side of the field as I'm looking at us is a set of bleachers that are actually facing away from us. The reason being is that on the other side of those bleachers is actually the, I don't know what you call it because I am not enough of a rodeo sort of guy, but that is where they're bringing in the livestock. I don't know if they're bringing in the horses or if they're bringing in the bulls that need to be ridden, but when they're having the rodeo, it's those bleachers, and those bleachers are showing their backs to us. If you just joined us, the Jaguars are searching for their first win of the season. They are 0-3, having lost a potentially winnable game against Soap Lake to open the season, and then getting blown out by Stanfield at home in their opening game of the season. Last week, the Jaguars took on Mapton, a team that they did manage to beat 21-18 up the valley last year in Mapton. This year, the Vikings came in, and the Jaguars originally kind of had their way with things. They managed to control the ball very well in the first quarter, held Matson's offense to virtually no yards. Fascinating. Just to interrupt that story for just a minute. Heppner has the excellent tradition of having the two teams meet on their opposite 45-yard lines, and then they come together at the 50-yard line for a team handshake. It's an excellent show of sportsmanship. Right before the game, I recall that the Mustangs asked that we do this technically at home last year in Hermiston. At any rate, the Jaguars, for the first time, got their first lead of the season at 7-0 with a 11-yard TD strike from Gavin Baker to a wide-open Bennett Peterson in the left side of the end zone. But they were having difficulty in the second and third quarter then stopping Matson's running game. The combination of Matson's running game, their ability to pass on fourth down, and some special teams mistakes. There were two fumbled kickoffs/punts that resulted in turnovers to Matson that they were then able to convert into points. And the other place where the Jaguars were victimized was in the receiving department. And this was a case last year. I recall vividly there were a number of drop passes in the Heppner game last year, and last week against Matson it victimized us as well. Dan Whitson in the first half was content to play a game of field position. If you're only going to get 8 yards and you go ahead and punt, we would then punt. We'd pin Matson deep in their own territory. They'd have to go three and out. Then we'd end up punting again. And then finally we got to a point where we were on our own 40-yard line facing a 4th and 9. And Dan Whitson had Matson convinced we were playing a field position ball game. So they lined up ready to punt. And we instead went for it on 4th down. And Kevin Baker threw a gorgeous, it was about a 30-yard strike down the right sideline. And he put the ball right where he needed to put it, right over the right shoulder and into the hands of Colin Dixon. But unfortunately, the ball went right through his hands, and the Jaguars turned the ball over. And on the next possession, as I recall, Matson actually took the lead. Tonight, we face a Oregon 1A team that has 2 years in a row been the state champion runner-up. Last year, they went undefeated until they were finally beaten by Burns in the final game of the season. They're 3-0 right now. They won 42-8 at Imbler. You may remember Imbler from the 2009 campaign years ago. They came in and dealt the Jaguars their only loss of the season in that state championship campaign. They then beat Grant Union 48-16 and Enterprise here at home last week, also 48-16. Heppner, very good. They're very skilled at putting points on the board. And our defense is going to have their work cut out for them in trying to stop the Heppner offense. Fortunately, we do get to go on offense first, and we do have a potential opportunity here. And that Dan Witsit said if Heppner has a weakness is that it can be in the secondary, and with our spread passing attack, it's possible we can exploit that. Colby Curran kicks off and kicks it along the ground. Colin Dixon picks it up at the 15-yard line, then proceeds to midfield, cuts left, then starts to drive upfield, gets just past 25 before he is brought down. I usually have a statistics guy with me. I do not tonight, so I will try to get tackling numbers for you, but it may be something of a challenge. So the Jaguars will have first possession on their 25-yard line. Once again, looking for their first win of the season. They will have Gavin Baker at quarterback. Their typical procedure is to run the spread. They may have one running back in the backfield. Often they will not. In this case, they don't. They have three wide receivers split wide to the right, and then they have Bennett Peterson split lone to the left. Jacob Amato is set up in the tight end position, empty backfield. Again, Baker will be in shotgun unless I say otherwise. Baker takes the snap, and he looks right and throws right, and he was trying to hit Colin Dixon. He led him a little bit too far. Colin, though, could have put his hand on that ball. It ended up going through his fingers, and there were Tommy Bridfield, a 5'7", 180-pound senior linebacker, was there on the plate. And perhaps Dixon was hearing Bridfield's footsteps there. So 2nd and 10 now for the Jaguars from the 25. If the Jaguars are going to have a hope against the Mustangs, the receivers have got to hang on to the ball. Now Dixon's in the backfield with Baker. Three wide receivers split wide right, and again, Peterson is on his own on the left. What Baker does is he gets the line up, the signal comes in from the sidelines, Baker then consults his wristband and then calls for the snap. which we now have. He's looking right, and he's throwing right, and he throws a little bit behind Carter Riddle, who was around midfield, about the 40. It was difficult. Baker, in that case, was not leading Riddle sufficiently for him to make a play on that ball. If he was showing some outstanding athletics, he maybe could have made a one-handed catch. So 3rd and 10, Jaguars on the 25, on their own 25. This is the opening drive of the game here in Heppner. 11:47 to go here, first quarter, no score. Dixon's in the backfield with Baker. We have two wide receivers split wide to either side. Dan Whitsitt often likes to lead heavy on one side, but in this particular formation, we have two receivers on either side. Baker takes a snap. He looks back. He wants to throw left, and he's throwing long, and he's overthrowing. His intended receiver was Bennett Peterson. Logan Grebe, a 6-foot, 170-pound senior free safety, was there on the coverage. He could potentially have made an interception on that ball, but fortunately, it was too far for him or for Peterson. So the Jaguars on this first possession are going to end up going three and out. Hogan Jones is back deep to punt, and C.J. Kendall, a 6-foot, 180-pound senior running back, is deep to receive. Hogan gets his kickoff, and Kendall's going to receive it about his 45. He's now past midfield, running down the left half. He's got an open lane, 40, 30, 25, 20, flag on the play, 15, 10, 5, and Kendall runs it all the way in, but there's a flag back at midfield. I've got a suspicion that this ball is going to end up coming back. Kendall took that ball, cut up the middle, and then broke out on the left sideline and raced down the 45 to 55 yards for the touchdown. But a flag on the play, and given the fact that the refs are back with the Jaguar squad, is suggesting that this is going to be a hold or an illegal block against Heppner. So that touchdown is not going to count. Waiting for the referee to come out and make a signal. And the call was a pat on the head against Heppner. I'm trying to figure out exactly what that is, and I have my handy collection of signals. And here we go. They can't be ineligible player downfield. Regardless, it was some type of formation or action error against Heppner. So the reception of the punt is going to be called good. And it ends up being a 15-yard penalty from the spot of the foul. So the ball's going to be placed right about the 41-yard line for Heppner. And Heppner comes out. Their normal starting quarterback, Caden Clark, is injured. So they are going with the 6'4", listed 140-pound sophomore, Kevin Smith. He's in shotgun. He wants to throw right, and he has a man wide open on the right half. He's past midfield, past 40, past the 35 before he's finally tripped up by number 34. That's Mario Valencia. So right away, Heppner with their first strike. They managed to get 27 yards. They get all the way down to the 31-yard line. And this is one of the things Dan Witta talked to me about this week. He says Heppner can do this. They'll throw something in the right flat, go up 18 yards. Throw something in the left flat, go up 25 yards. Then right flat again. Heppner can run, and they can pass. They come out in the spread. Smith is in the shotgun. C.J. Kendall is beat. No, check that. That is Tommy Bradfield. He is the running back behind him, and Bradfield breaks into the secondary. He manages to get down to the 15-yard line before he's brought down once again by Valencia. Remember, Bubba is all of... Mario Valencia is all 5'4", 142 pounds, and Bradfield clocks in at 5'7", 180. And poor Mario got dragged a little ways. There's 16 yards on that game, and Heppner is marching down the field. Smith in shotgun. He has Bradfield in the backfield behind him. Three wide receivers split to the left, and the quarterback wants to throw on the left flat, and he's got a man. He's down 5-3, and then he's going to get knocked out of bounds. He's going to get knocked out of bounds just short of the goal line. The reception by C.J. Kendall, the 6-foot, 180-pound running back who ran that punt back for a touchdown that ended up getting called back. But the ball, okay, there's another penalty on the play. They're saying that a hold took place on the run back, so the ball's going to be placed back at the 20. So So instead of a first and goal from the one, Hepner is now going to be facing a first and 15 from their 20. Smith in shotgun. He has Bradfield in the backfield behind him. Three wide receivers split wide to the right. The handoff is to Bradfield. He wants to go straight up the middle. He escapes the first tackle. Now he's into the secondary. He's down to the five, and he bounces off tacklers and all the way to the end zone. Tommy Bradfield, 20-yard run, and that's a Hefner touchdown with just under 10 minutes to go here in the first quarter. And this is exactly what happened last year. The Jaguars had first possession. They ended up going three and out, and Hepner marched just kind of relentlessly downfield and put it in for the touchdown. In this case, a Bradfield 20-yard run. Logan Grebe, the senior free safety, is on to attempt the point after touchdown. He's a left-footed kicker, and his kick is up, and it is really high, but ends up going through the uprights and good. And so, just like that, the Hepner Mustangs draw first blood against the Jaguars with 10-12 to go in the first quarter. It's Hepner 7, Tri-Cities Prep 0. You're listening to Jaguar Football on 100.7 FM KHSS.
Some fast food restaurants serve what they call Mexican food. Why settle for second best when you can go to Taco John's, a real Mexican restaurant at 701 West Vineyard Avenue in Kennewick? Sometimes it might take a little longer at Taco John's, but it's always fresh, always delicious. Taco John's has a reputation for serving some of the finest Mexican food available. Located across from Kennewick High School, that's Taco John's, where there's a whole lot of Mexican going on.
Planning your will and health care directives can be an overwhelming experience. An attorney who specializes in these matters can ensure that you, your property, and your loved ones are taken care of in the best possible manner. For over 10 years, Richland's Mario Ledesma at Ledesma Law Offices on Jadwin Avenue has been helping families with estate planning, community property agreements, health care directives, wills, and transfer of property. He also specializes in discrimination and employment-related issues. Call Ledesma Law Offices at 946-1248. That's 946-1248.
This is KHSS. Walla Walla Walla.
Logan Grebe kicks off for Hepner, and it's gathered in by Colin Dixon at the 10, who runs up the right sideline, tries to do a little shake and bake and juke, and manages to get out to the 30 before he's yanked out of bounds, frankly, by a Hepner player whose number I did not get. So the Jaguars are going to try once again, see if they can't get the offense out of first gear from their own 30. Baker's going to be in shotgun. We now have three wide receivers split wide to the left. Bennett Peterson alone on the right. Jaguars moving left to right as we view the field here from our visitors' booth. Baker takes the snap, and he's looking left, and he's throwing left, and he's got a man wide open. It's Colin Dixon right at midfield. Nice strike by Gavin Baker. Dixon gathers it in, tackled by Ryan Smith, but not till a 20-yard gain from Baker to Dixon, and the Jaguars pick up their first down of the day, a 20-yard gain. Baker in shotgun once again. This time he has Dixon in the backfield with him. We have two wide receivers split wide to either side. Amato out of the tight end position on the right as a receiver, and the throw is meant for him, and it's kicked and then carried in. Oh, my gosh, McCarty-Rillo, 20, 15, 10, he tripped up at the 5. Wilson Putnam, but I'll tell you what, they could pass his kick, and McCarty-Rillo right on top of that, drives it in and rambles 45 yards, almost in for the touchdown. And just like that, the Jaguars are knocking on Hepner's door. It is first and goal. Tri-Cities Prep on the Hepner 5. I want to note, I'm not going to have that right. I was going to say that Jaden Hedman tipped that ball, but I can't say who tipped it. And regardless, Dan Whitson wants to talk us over. He's going to take a timeout. So with 9:28 to go, Hepner leading 7-0, but Prep knocking on the door. You're listening to Jaguar Football on 100.7 FM KHSS.
You know the Lady and the Tramp? When the two dogs are eating spaghetti and they grab the same strand and kiss? Make that dinner for your wife. And grab a delicious panini for lunch while you're at it. Cugini's Italian Imports is Walla Walla's best-kept lunchtime secret. I shouldn't even be telling you guys about it on the radio. Cugini's Italian Imports, 960 Wallula Avenue, Buono Pazzo.
This is KHSS Walla Walla.
And they're not only the greatest call letters in the history of broadcast journalism, but also, frankly, one of the funniest commercials. I laugh every time I hear that. I don't live in Walla Walla, but I want to go visit this place just to see if I can see the button, man. Jaguars, first and goal from the Hettner 5. We have spread formation. We have two wide receivers put to the left. We have Mario Valencia in the backfield now with Gavin Baker. Bennett Peterson is a lone receiver on the right. Jones and Dixon are split wide to the left. Baker takes a snap, hands it in to Mario Valencia, who rambles down to the 2, the 1 before he's met by the linebacking core. And they're going to say he got down to the 3, if I have the marking correct. So it's second and goal from the 3. We don't have yard hashes here. We have 5-yard hashes here at Hefner. So I'm eyeballing when we get in between the 10 and 15-yard line, so to speak. That looks to be like about the 3. So Jaguars have 3 yards to go to try and tie this game here against what has to be a heavily favored Hefner Mustang team. Valencia in the backfield again to the right of Baker. Two wide receivers split to the left. Amato at tight end. Peterson, the lone receiver, on the right. Valencia lined up on the right, and before we even get going, we're going to have a delay of game called against Tri-Cities Prep. So it'll be second and goal now, but unfortunately from the 8. Jaguars, with that two-pass drive, actually have outgained the Mustangs at this point. I mean, we're only 3 possessions into the game. Jaguars have 67 yards, Hefner having 64. Baker now alone in the outfield, in the backfield. We have two wide receivers split wide to the other side. Valencia on the near, Peterson on the far, on the right side. Now Dixon's in motion, and the handoff is going to be not for him. It's a jet sweep. It's the quarterback keeper. He gets back down inside the 5. I'm going to say down to the 2 before he's brought down by Ryan Smith.
Ryan Smith on the tackle.
No, I take it back. This is my inability to see the hash marks very clearly. He got down to the 4. So it's third and goal from the Hefner 4. Jaguars started this drive on their 30. A 20-yard strike from Gavin Baker to Colin Dixon, and then a tipped 45-yard strike from Baker to Riddle has gotten the Jaguars inside the Hefner 5. Empty backfield, 3 wide receivers to the left. Bennett Peterson alone with no coverage on the right, and Baker wants to keep it, and he manages to get past the line of scrimmage, but he's not going to get in. They're going to give him to the 3. So it's going to be fourth down and goal to go from the 3-yard line. Dan Whitsitt has an interesting decision to make here. Does he want to go for the 3 against a very difficult Hefner defense, or is he going to give the offensive line credit and have faith that they actually can punch it in? And they are going for it. Fourth and goal from the 3. Baker has Dixon in the backfield with him. 3 wide receivers split wide to either side. Split wide to the left side. It can't be either side. Peterson's alone on the right. Baker wants to throw, and he throws to the left, and it was a little bit low for Carter Riddle, and he ended up dropping the ball. The Jaguars are going to turn the ball over on downs after a 67-yard drive, actually 72 net yards. Jaguars had first and goal from the 5, but they are unable to punch it in. And they turn the ball over on downs to Hefner. Hefner, I have to say, with their offense, they are quite capable of marching 97 yards. But it's interesting that Dan Whitsitt told me earlier this week that if Hefner had a weakness, it was their secondary. And the Jaguars got 65 yards in the air on that drive. The 140-pound quarterback in the backfield hands it off, I believe, to his running back, Redfield. No, that's not Redfield. That's going to be C.J. Kindle. And Kindle goes from the 3 to the 10, gain of about 7. So this appears to be 2nd and 3. From my vantage point, the down marker and the yard marker don't line up clearly, so sometimes I have to make a best guess. It appears to be 2nd and 3. Smith hands off. This looks to be Kindle again. He wants to run off right tackle, and he's going to get hung up at the line of scrimmage. He manages to fall forward to get to the 15. Tackled by Van Hout. The freshman, Tony Van Hout. makes the tackle, but not until Kindle gets the first down at the Heppner 15-yard line. 6:11 to go. 7-0 Heppner. Although the Jaguar offense showing some fire, marching downfield. Smith in shotgun. He has Kindle behind him, and Kindle wants to run up right tackle, and he gets past the defensive line, then gets tripped up by the linebacker. I want to say that's going to be Van Hout again. That was actually Zarek Baker with the stop on that play. Kindle got to be 22, so it's going to be 2nd and 3. Smith in shotgun. Looks like he has Kindle behind him. He only has one wide receiver split to the right. The handoff is to Kindle. He wants to run off right tackle, and he manages to get through the first line. Again, gets all the way down to the 29-yard line, make it to 30. So Kindle with a gain of 8. And it's another Heppner first down. Dan Witzig gave me a list of names to watch for. A 5'5 wide receiver in Ryan Smith, a 5'8 wide receiver in Jake Lindsey, a 6-foot wide receiver in Logan Grebe, a 5'11 senior in Caden Clark. That's the normal quarterback, but he appears to be injured, being replaced by Smith. And now we're going to have an end around to Logan Grebe, who gets past the line, then gets into the line backing court before he's brought down by Will Dutoury, but not before he gets another 6. To the 36, a 2nd and 4. Heppner able to chew up large chunks on first down. They have outstanding line blocking. Frankly, the best I've seen thus far this year. And they had some of the best we saw last year. Smith in shotgun, fakes the handoff, he throws to the right, and that pass is complete. Now we're out in the flat, past the core, past the 50, and now he's got now at the foot race, and it's going to be 1. Running at 15, 10, 5, touchdown, C.J. Schindel caught a pass in the right flat, and his fellow receivers know how to block the secondary. And they plow the path wide open for him, and Kindle's off to the races down the right sideline. And punched it in with little difficulty. So Heppner with their 2nd touchdown of the first quarter opens a 13-0 lead. Grieg again is going to be on to attempt point after touchdown. Grieg's an interesting kicker. He's a southpaw. So he's kicking with his left foot, and he doesn't kick really forward. He kind of kicks up, at least based on his previous PAT. It had a long arc to it. It was good. It was plenty accurate, but got a lot of air underneath it. And this one is kind of the same way, but in this case, he hooked it too far to the right. So the PAT is no good. So 4:25 to go in the first quarter. We have Heppner 13, Tri-Cities Prep nothing. You're listening to Jaguar Football on 100.7 FM, KHSS.
KHSS has a long tradition of broadcasting high school sports to our Walla Walla and Tri-Cities listeners over the airwaves of 100.7 FM and worldwide over the Internet. Since the fall of 97, KHSS has broadcasted more than 1,000 DeSales High School athletic contests. This year, we are broadcasting Tri-Cities Prep Games, and we'd like to invite you to be a part of it. If you have a business and would like to sponsor our Tri-Cities Prep broadcast, or you know somebody who does, call us here at KHSS at 525-7878. That's 525-7878.
Canyon Lakes Golf Course is the Tri-Cities' highest rated and most popular golf course. Buy your 2016 yearly or Twilight membership and get the rest of this year free. Buy your 2016 VIP membership for $395, and it starts today. Start your monthly membership for $100, and they'll prorate your current month. For more information, go to CanyonLakesGolfCourse.com. Why play the rest when you can play the best? Canyon Lakes Golf Course.
This is KHSS Walla Walla.
Logan Grebe to kick off for the Heppner Mustangs as they've built a 13-0 lead on your Jaguars. He is kicking deep to Colin Dixon and Mario Valencia, and Valencia has to go all the way back to the 6 to gather it in before he starts running to the left. He's got Dixon blocking before him. He gets past the 15, almost up to the 17, before he is shoved out of bounds, I want to say, by C.J. Kindle. That was C.J. Kindle, and that was one of the names that Coach Dan Witt said we had to watch out for. And then on the line, you have a 5'8", 170-pound lineman, Tim Jaka, a 6'1", 205 senior, Kevin Murray, and a 6'5", 250-pound, 55-pound defensive end in Patrick Collins. So Heppner brings the beef. Baker in shotgun. We have two wide receivers split wide to either side. Jaguars starting on their 16-yard line. Empty backfield. Jacob Amato on the right side, tight end. Baker then checks his wristband. Checks these receivers are in place. Sends Dixon in motion. And fake handoff to Dixon. Baker looks right now. He wants to keep it, and he's going to end up getting tackled behind the line. Takes a while for them to get him down. He kept struggling. It took about six Mustangs to finally get him down, but he ended up, instead of tossing the ball away, he ended up taking the sack. He had originally been met at back of the 10-yard line. He managed to fight his way back to the 14, so just a loss of two. Second and 12. 3:54 to go here, first quarter in Heppner on this unusually warm late September evening. 13-0 Heppner. Two wide receivers split wide out of side for the Jaguars on second and 12. Baker sends Dixon in motion, and a fake jet sweep is now Baker wants to fake the throw, fake the run, then he throws a screen to Dixon, but the Heppner defense read that from the get-go, and Dixon ends up getting swarmed behind the line of scrimmage. That ends up being a loss of three. Call it two. They're going to mark it more or less at 12. So third and 14 now from the Jaguar 12. Jaguars had a possession with no gain. This current possession were negative four, and then they have a possession where they gained 72 yards. Two wide receivers split wide to either side. Dixon in the backfield with Baker. Baker consults his wristband. And he calls for the snap, and he's looking back. He wants to throw right, and he's throwing long. He's got Jacob Amato wide open, and that's a gorgeous pass. And he ends up getting brought down at the 45, and I'm telling you, that ball was placed perfectly. Jacob Amato gathered it in, and the Jaguars, on a 32-yard gain, have another first down on their 44-yard line. So, Gavin Baker here, 2 for 2 in this possession for 30 yards. Three wide receivers split wide to the right. He has Bennett Peterson alone on the left. Baker takes a snap, and he wants to run it straight up the middle, almost runs into his tight end, and manages to break through the first line and get up to the 50. So Baker, with a 6-yard run, I think somewhat to Heppner's surprise, gives the Jaguars a second and four from just short of midfield. That thought, if we actually had hash marks, it would be just in front of the 49. So really a gain of five. But for yardage purposes, you have to say a gain of six. Three wide receivers split to the right. Dixon in the backfield with Baker. Peterson split to the left. Now Baker calls the snap, and he wants to throw to the right, and it's going to be picked off, and it's going to be picked six. Horizontal coverage, he's able to read that. That's Weston Putnam, and he goes all the way to the end zone for a 45-yard interception and touchdown. And just like that, the Jaguars had been driving down the field. But the INT and the quick pick six, and Heppner scores again. Grieg on to attempt the point after touchdown. I have to say, the Jaguars are having more success on offense than they did last year against Heppner. We had gigantic difficulties getting our offense out of first gear in Hermiston last year. Grieg's point after is up, and it's good, but there's a flag on the play. And we may have, I think this is going to be illegal procedure. They were doing a head count, and sure enough, they're consulting with Jacob Amato. So while Griggs' point after touchdown was good, it is not going to count because, yeah, we had too many. Heppner makes what I suspect for them is an unusual mistake, an illegal formation. They actually had too many men on the field. So the point after touchdown gets to be attempted again, but instead of being snapped from the three, the ball is now going to be placed at the 18-yard line. With Grieg's leg, I don't think there's any hope yet. No, I can't tell what they're doing. Greig is out there. Jake Lindsay is out there. Yeah, Greig's lining up for it again. The ball as placed from kick will be from the 24th. This is going to be a 34-yard point after touchdown attempt, and Greig gives it a noble effort that it ends up going wide left and, frankly, was a little short. So with 1:35 to go with three touchdowns, Heppner has been hampered by 2 point after touchdown fails. 1:35 to go. Heppner 19, Tri-Cities Prep nothing. You're listening to Jaguar Football on 100.7 FM KHSS.
So what can you find at a Catholic Supply Company? A lot. School uniforms, books, gifts, cards, artwork, school curricula for parochial schools and homeschools, vestments, liturgical books, missals, and people who dearly love the Catholic faith. With their buying power, Blessed on First Catholic Supply Company will be able to save parishes and Catholic schools some money, and individual parishioners as well. Come see us at Blessed on First, 120 West 1st Avenue, Kennewick.
Fall is now here, which means the weather's caught somewhere between winter and summer. But even as temperatures change outside, your comfort doesn't have to, because a new Lennox heating and cooling system from Campbell & Company preserves your comfort all year long. Right now, you can enjoy a rebate of up to $1,700 with the purchase of a qualifying new Lennox heating and cooling system. Go to TrustCampbell.com for details. Campbell & Company, trusted home comfort solutions for over 30 years.
This is KHSS Walla Walla.
1:35 to go here, first quarter. Heppner 19, Tri-Cities Prep nothing. Greig on for the kickoff after the interception return, and he hits a low line drive. The wobbles are up, picked up by Mario Valencia at the 13. He's got the 20, 25, 30, and just about broke it before he got held up and dragged down about the 34 by Wyatt Stegall. It gives the Jaguars pretty good field position up there at 34-yard line. Despite being down 19-0, you have to remember that Heppner is a senior-heavy team. They are returning players that effectively were runner-up in the Oregon State Championship last year. But the Jaguar offense, frankly, clicking better than I've seen it click all season against a nasty Heppner defense. Three wide receivers split wide to the right. Valencia's in the backfield with Baker and shotgun. Bennett Peterson's on his own on the left, and the handoff is to Valencia, who wants to go off left tackle. And he manages to twist and turn and get himself up to the 35, so that'll be actually be a gain of two. They place the ball to start this drive on the 33. Gavin Baker, 4 for 8, 95 yards in one quarter, one interception. Two wide receivers. No, check that. We have three wide receivers split wide to the right. Bennett Peterson off to the left. Valencia was in the backfield. He now comes off to the sideline. Once again, the Jaguars taking a lot of time. They manage to get the snap off, and then a flag gets thrown as Baker releases the ball and completes it to Jacob Amato, which would be good for a 10-yard gain, but the placing of the flag suggests it's going to be holding against the Jaguars, so that 10-yard gain is going to be nullified. The pass completion will not count. And they're consulting with Tommy Bredfield for the defense. The referee is... we're on technically the visitor's side, so the referee is motioning to the home side, so he has his back to us. And he's not very expressive, let's say. I can get clearly that a penalty is against somebody, but sometimes it's hard for me to see exactly what it is. So it ends up being a 5-yard penalty. And even Dan Whitsitt is just asking for clarification. He says, what exactly was the call? The ball now will be placed back on the 30. It'll be second. Assuming this placement is correct, it looks to be about a second and 14. Whitsitt consulting with the referee. He's just trying to get clarification on this particular call. And he's retreating to the sideline, but he and the ref are still... I'm not jawing with one another, but clearly we're not entirely clear with regards to what exactly happened. The referee said, okay, we're done talking, now it's time to go. Evan Whitsitt, Dan's son, is down there. He has a big whiteboard that has a number that Gavin Baker picks up, and then he checks his wristband and splits his receivers three to the right and one to the left with an empty backfield. 46 seconds to go here, first quarter. And now I think we're going to get called for taking too much time. Yep. Oh, false start. Someone on the offensive line must have shifted. So the ball now will be placed on the 25-yard line, and the Jaguars have got to get to the 49, so this is going to be 44, I beg your pardon, second and about 20. Same formation, Baker this time takes a snap. He runs back, and now he's throwing to the deep sideline, and Carter Riddle was unable to get to the ball. I've got to say, that was his intended receiver. And he led him by almost 5 yards. I almost wondered if he was throwing to the side judge. That does stop the clock. With just over 24 seconds to go, the Jaguars will have a third and 20 from their 25. That was Baker's first incompletion of the quarter. 2 for 3 for 30 yards. That's incorrect. He's had a number of others. We have three wide receivers split wide to the right. We have Dixon in the backfield. Baker wants to go back. He's under pressure, and he way overthrows his intended screen receiver, which is supposed to be Colin Dixon, and he ended up throwing it into the defensive line, and that ball was begging to be picked off. The thing about a screenplay such as that, if you get your defensive line to overcommit, you've got to make sure you hit your receiver. You can't afford to overthrow him because there's going to be a swarm of defenders ready to pick that thing off. Hogan Jones now is going to be back to punt. C.J. Kendall looks deep to receive for the Mustangs. Jones gets up a high end over end. The Kendall's calling for a fair catch to the 42, which he does gather in. And Hefner, with 12 seconds to go in the first quarter, will have an opportunity to run at least one more play. So the Jaguars, interesting tale. They've had 4 possessions. It had 2 with either no yards or negative yards, and then 2 others that have gathered them 34 and 72 yards. So Smith, and I take Kevin Smith, the 6'4", 140-pound quarterback, hands off to Tommy Brisfield, and he gets into the secondary, crosses midfield, crosses the 40, before he's brought down by Bennett Peterson at the 36-yard line. That's a gain of 24 yards. And that will be the last play of the first quarter, with Hefner leading the Jaguars 19-0. We'll be back with the second quarter. You're listening to Jaguar Football on 100.7 of MKHSS.
Ideal Jewelry and Boutique in Richland carries boutique items such as clothing, purses, scarves, hats, jewelry, and more. Owner Tammy Davenport has designed many of the jewelry pieces herself, making them unique and one-of-a-kind, yet affordable. They also have a beautiful collection of handmade rosaries that you have to hold in your hand to fully appreciate. And 100% of the rosary proceeds goes to KHSS Catholic Radio. Visit Ideal Jewelry and Boutique at 1950 Keene Road, Q1, Richland, or call 366-1873.
If you have a family, you'll eventually need a good lawyer who is skilled at family law. Since 1976, Quattle Law Offices have specialized in all areas of family law, including child custody and support, adoptions, divorce, wills and estates, property divisions, and complex litigation. Pat Quattle was one of the first women to practice law in the Tri-Cities and has been recognized for outstanding volunteer legal services in the Tri-Cities community. Call Quattle Law Offices today at 943-3331. That's 943-3331.
This is KHSS Walla Walla.
Tail of the first quarter, Hefner 141 total yards, Tri-Cities Prep 135. The difference, Hefner able to score on their 2 deep possessions. The Jaguars unable to, and the Jaguars turn over a pick 6. And as a result, Hefner has a 19-0 lead as we open the second quarter. And Hefner with the ball on the Tri-Cities Prep 36. Come on, come on. Devin Smith, a 140-pound quarterback, has Redfield in the backfield with him. Smith wants to throw, and he throws a wobbler to number 20, who's wide open in the middle, and he's going to carry it in from the 20. That's Weston Putnam. He also scored on the pick six earlier. Smith had him wide open over the middle of the field. The linebacking core of the safeties were not taking care of business. There was no one within 15 yards of him, and Putnam could have crawled into the end zone for the touchdown. So just like that, Smith to Putnam, and Hefner is now up 25-0. Grieg on to attempt the point after touchdown. And the play gets blown dead. This is the second point after touchdown where Hefner's had a flag called on them. And they're going to say, in this case it was offside. Sorry, I said this was against Hefner. That penalty is going to be against Tri-Cities Prep. They're calling offside. Someone getting a little bit too anxious and trying to hopefully get in there and block the punt, or block the kick, I beg your pardon. So Greek is going to get an inch a little bit closer, and he gets another opportunity, and this one he drills with the uprights. And the point after is good with 11:52 to go in the first half. It's all Hefner. Mustangs 26, Jaguars 0. We'll be back with more. You're listening to Jaguar Football on 100.7 FM KHSS.
Prepare to have your car buy-in experience redimensioned. Joe Klein at McCurley Integrity Dealerships can get you the wheels of your dreams with a simple phone call. Whether new or used, whether it's for personal, business, or commercial use, and whether it's Chevy, Cadillac, Toyota, Honda, Subaru, Mazda, or Mercedes, give Joe Klein a chance to show you how easy it can be to buy a car through McCurley's fleet side. The money and time you'll save will astound you. Call Joe Klein today at 366-5159. That's 366-5159.
Keeping your smile healthy is our number one goal at Gillette Family Dentistry. Since 1981, Dr. Gillette and his staff have been providing quality dental care in a friendly, caring atmosphere. Dr. Gillette's general, cosmetic, and sports dentistry always have you, the patient, in mind. Gillette Family Dentistry is located across from Broadmoor Mall at 9221 Sandifer Parkway. Call 547-0730 to learn more about how we can help keep your smile healthy. That's 547-0730 for Gillette Family Dentistry.
This is KHSS Walla Walla.
11:52 to go here, second quarter. All Hefner. Mustangs 26, Jaguars nothing, but the Jaguar offense has had its moments. We may yet see something change here. Gree gets a daisy scorcher that gets picked up by Mario Valencia at the 15. He cuts straight up the middle, past the 20, past the 25, almost up to the 30 before he's brought down at the 29.
Kick returned by Mario Valencia.
Bubba getting quite a few reps and getting quite a bit of business here in the game. He's had his reps at running back. He's returned two kickoffs for some pretty good yardage, and he's had to make some tackles because the line has not been able to stop the Hefner running game. Three wide receivers split to the left. Jaguars moving right to left as we watch here. Dixon's in the backfield with Baker. Peterson will be the lone slot set to the right. Baker takes the snap, and he wants to throw to Peterson, and the ball is batted at the line of scrimmage by Patrick Collins. I had mentioned him earlier. This guy is a senior. He's 6'5", 255, and he got his big mitt up and slapped down Baker's attempt. The Jaguars will have second attempt. It has been a pleasure, actually, though, watching Kevin Baker mature as a quarterback. The first two games of the season, he would telegraph his passes and he would zero in on his receivers, and he's been doing a better job of looking off his receivers and trying to convince the opposing secondary that he's not necessarily going in one direction. Two wide receivers split wide to either side, and I think we might actually have an encroached. Nope, they're going to say it was an illegal procedure. There was movement on the Tri-Cities Cup line, so the Jaguars are going to lose 5 and try again. The 2nd and 10 becomes 2nd and 15 from the 24. And the somewhat aggravated Dan Whitsitt asks Brendan Merck to go out. And number 72, whose number I do not have, that might be Leo Schroeder, is told to come back. 2nd and 15 for the Jaguars from their 24. Two wide receivers split wide to either side. Dixon is in the backfield with Baker split to the left of Gavin. And Baker wants, he looks to throw. Now he's going to cut up into the line of scrimmage, and he keeps running. But barely gets to, he ends up having to run laterally and getting shoved around laterally. It ends up being a gain of about one. Third and 14 from the Tri-City Prep 25-yard line. Gorgeous fall evening here in this Oregon town. I've never had the pleasure of being in. It's really quite pretty. Dixon in the backfield, split to the left. Two wide receivers split wide to either side. No tight end. Baker calls for the snap. He looks right now. He's looking and throwing left, and he's got Ben Peterson wide open, and the ball. Wow. Oh, it's Ben. Yes, he did. Ben Peterson stole that ball. I'm telling you, Logan Grieve had that ball picked off, and Ben has just ripped it out of his arms and carries it all the way down. I want to say to the 35. No, they're going to say the 31-yard line. That is 25. That's a 44-yard gain from Baker to Peterson. First down, Jaguars on a 3rd and 15. That was a 44-yard gain. I beg your pardon. So Baker having a long strikes this evening. 1st and 10 Jaguars from the Heppner 31. Baker with Dixon in the backfield wants to throw to Peterson on the left, but that ball was about, what I say, that ceiling at 25,000 feet. Wilt Chamberlain could not have made a play on that ball. And Baker looks at the sideline and he's patting his chest saying, yeah, that was me. Put a little bit too much on that ball. So I've got to say the Jaguar vertical passing game definitely having some success, more so than at any point we have at this season. Three wide receivers split wide to the right. Bennett Peterson is going to be the lone receiver to the left, right in front of me as we stand here in the visitor's booth. Empty backfield. Baker calls for the snap. He's looking for Peterson, and now he's throwing across the middle. He left Jacob Amato a little bit too much. The ball got tipped. Colin Dixon then laid himself out and got his fingers on the ball, but wasn't quite able to bring it in. So that ball will fall incomplete. 3rd and 10 from the 31, the Heppner 31. Dan Witta told me yesterday that the Heppner secondary was vulnerable, and thus far he's definitely been proven right. Three wide receivers split wide to the left. Dixon's going to be in the backfield to the left of Baker. Peterson again, split lone left, directly in front of me. Jaguars moving right to left. Baker looks back. He wants Peterson. He's throwing to Peterson, and he hit Peterson right in the numbers, and Bennett couldn't hang on to it. I've often said we got to get the WD-40 off the receiver's hands. Ben Peterson should have had that ball. So Baker, 1 for 6 here in the second quarter. But that was good for a 44-yard strike. And with 4th and 10 from the 31, the Jaguars are going to go for it. Three wide to the right. Peterson to the left. Empty backfield. Yep, we're looking for Peterson again, and he has the double clutch and tucks the ball in, tries to move forward, ends up taking the sack. And Dan Witsit is not happy with his receiver core. He's saying that the wrong route was run. Baker ends up taking the sack, and the Jaguars turn the ball over on downs.
And the touchback ball, 1st and 10. Ball spotted.
But the Jaguars do manage to at least back Heppner up into their own territory. Kevin Smith, the 6'4", 140-pound sophomore quarterback, has done well for himself. They have a full house backfield with a handoff to number 5, Logan Greed, who now breaks into the secondary, and he's off to the race. 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. One play, and touchdown Heppner. One play, 67 yards. Grieg, their place kicker, runs it in over the left end. And the Jaguars give up another long. Oh, I take it back. This is not a touchdown because there was a flag on the play. Holding against Heppner. That holding took place right about midfield. So Greg's long run is going to get called back. And they're going to mark that off. The flag is placed at the 48-yard line of Tri-Cities Prep, and they end up marching it back to the 41 of Heppner. So they'll end up with the original marking still in play. That ends up being an 8-yard gain. It'll end up being first and two. You're not going to see that call very often. And this time the handoff is to Brett Field. He was the running back directly behind the snapper, and he gets it to the 44. So it'll be first down, Heppner, from the 44. PA announcer's having the same problem I am. It's like, is that 43, 44, what is it? Heppner has given up on their spread formation, and they are in a modified wing T, and they give it to Kendall, who wants to turn the right corner, and he's going to make it before he ends up finally getting upended by Mario Valencia, but not until he gets into prep territory. He got upended right about the 40-yard line. So a gain of 16 for Kendall, and Heppner just keeps driving the ball downfield. They're not necessarily like a pile driver, but they are relentless. And I remember them being this relentless last year. The difference is that this time they're facing a much younger prep team that to some extent is still trying to find its identity, but we've seen flashes of it here this evening. Smith in shotgun. He has Redfield in the backfield behind him. Two wide receivers split wide to either side, and Smith wants to throw. He's going long over the middle to Kendall, and once again, there is nobody there, and Kendall gathers in the ball at 20, and he's going to take it in for a touchdown. That was identical to Heppner's last touchdown. They pass over the middle, and the safeties or linebackers are getting caught with their pants down, and Heppner is able to exploit that for a touchdown. Grebe on to attempt. I want to make sure I have my numbers right. Yes. Grebe is going to be on again to attempt the point after touchdown. 8:50 to go here, second quarter. Heppner thoroughly in control, 32-0. And the snap is over the snapper's head. Grebe ends up having to gather it in, and he's just going to kneel down at the 15. So the kick fails again, and with 8:50 to go, that score will remain Heppner 32, Tri-Cities Prep nothing. You're listening to Jaguar Football on 100.7 FM KHSS.
This week, beginning on Wednesday, September 30th, Catholic radio stations around the Northwest will join with Sacred Heart Radio in Seattle to share one broadcast, one fundraiser, to benefit each individual radio station. When you support our share-a-thon on this week, that support will come directly to Holy Spirit Sanctifier Catholic Radio, which built the radio station you are listening to right now, and which will keep this radio station on the air. Whether it's 100.7 FM KHSS Walla Walla, 107.3 FM KTNH Walla Walla,
This is KHSS Walla Walla.
8:50 to go here, second quarter. And hats off to my engineer in Walla Walla. The ads are not playing nice with him, and he is doing everything in his power to make it work right. So, good on you, Dan. Keep trucking. It'll work out. Valencia gathers the kickoff at the 15, at the 20, 25, trying to break through the middle and then get the pile drive just short of the 35-yard line. They're going to mark the ball with the 33. I'll tell you what. Bubba, 140 pounds of him, he is tough. He takes a licking and keeps on ticking. Or like a, you want to say Weeble, but Mario's not built like a Weeble, but he just keeps bouncing up. So the Jaguars going to try again here from the Tri-Cities prep 33-yard line. Three wide receivers split to the left. Baker has an empty backfield. Peterson is going to be split wide to the right. Baker takes a snap, looks left, throws a screen to Dixon, crosses over, now tries to cut up field. He doesn't get very far before he's gathered in by Logan Grebe. In fact, he was barely able to get one on the play. Heppner very astute to that screen. And part of the reason they're adept to that screen is that they run it extremely efficiently on offense. The best I've seen this year. So their defense is accustomed to seeing it and trying to kill it before it gets anywhere. Three wide receivers split to the right. Peterson's going to be the lone receiver on the left. Dixon is in the backfield on the left of Baker. Baker calls for the snap, and he's going to have to run up, and he manages to get past the line of scrimmage. He's past the 40. Step to the 44. He gets into the second echelon before he's brought down by Weston Putnam. So heads-up play there by Gavin Baker. That's good for an 8-yard gain to the 42. This is going to be third and a very short one. Be interesting to see. Normally this is where you break out the power running game, but the Jaguars have had some difficulty with that, and against Heppner's line, very challenging. And sure enough, the Jaguars show an empty backfield. Still in the spread. Three wide split to the left. Peterson's going to be to the right. 7:21 to go here first half. Heppner 32, Tri-Cities Prep nothing. Baker ends up keeping the ball, but the side judge to me looks like he's going to give him forward progress. That ought to be enough for Tri-Cities Prep first down. But the referee is waiting for time. He wants to see the change. So Baker was credited with the yard. It looked to me like he needed to get to the 43. The ball is marked at the 43. But the referee wants to see this for real. So they're going to march the chains out. And that ball's well past the first down mark. So Gavin Baker takes care of business in the short running game. Does what it needs to do. First down Jaguars from their own 43-yard line. And that first down brought to you by the running legs of quarterback Gavin Baker. Three wide receivers split wide to the left. Empty backfield. Peterson's going to be alone on the right. Now Dixon's going to be called in motion, and the handoff is a fake jet sweep to him. Baker straight up the middle. He's into the secondary. He passed the 40. Past the 35. Trying to drag down at the 30. He's dragged down at the 30 by Logan Green, but not before he picks up 22 yards. Except that's 27 yards. He got all the way down to the 30. And we have a couple of Mustangs down on the field. We have one Mustang. This is Sammy Pera Escobar. This is Saul Castaneda Erickson. He's on one knee, and then there's another one who's on his back. He's moving around, so we don't have to worry about serious injury. Castaneda Erickson is now walking to the line, and the fellow on his back, that was Tim Nyaka, the 5'8", 170-pound defensive lineman. He's going to have to come off the field. Trey Simiotti is going to come on for the Mustangs. Jaguars, meanwhile, putting together another nice little march, have the ball on the Heppner 30. And I can't tell. For a minute I thought we were calling timeout, but no, it doesn't seem to be the case. We are ready to rock and roll. So, 1st and 10, Jaguars from the Heppner 30. Bennett Peterson split to the left. Three wide receivers split wide to the right. Empty backfield. Baker looks for the signal from Dan Witsit as to how the particular play is supposed to run. Consults his wristband, and away we go. And it's a quick throw to the right, and it is, oh my goodness. Bennett Peterson hit Hogan Jones right in the numbers and bounced in and out of Hogan's hands. And almost got picked up by Weston Putnam, who had a pick six earlier today. Once again, Baker sometimes has the yips. Baker sometimes does not necessarily hit his receivers. But he put that ball exactly where it needed to be, and the receiver did not take care of business. Three wide receivers split to the left. Jones is in isolation to the right. Peterson, Dixon, and Riddle to the left. Now Dixon's going to come in motion. And fake hand off to him, and we're going to run up the middle again, and Baker manages to get some daylight again. He gets past the 30 all the way down to the 26. So a gain of 4 on that little delay quarterback draw. They've caught Heppner napping twice. Once for a gain of 27, and that time just for 4, but again, the Jaguars getting some good mileage out of that. 3rd and 6. Two wide receivers split to either side. Amato is out as a receiver. Dixon is in the backfield now with Baker. This is a no tight end set. 5:29 to go. Heppner 32, prep 0. We're throwing to the left sideline, and it's complete to Peterson, who breaks the tackle and gets past 20 down to the 15, and that's going to be good for Jaguar first down. Nice hands, Bennett. Nice hands, 11-yard gain, and we have a Heppner Mustang down again. This time, that's Logan Grebe. Grebe has been making life difficult for the Jaguars, sometimes with his kicking, at one point an interception, and he's been playing some pretty good defensive back. He's on his back, he is moving, but he's clearly uncomfortable. Nope, I take it back, that's not Grebe, that's Jake Lindsey. That's a 5'8", 155-pound defensive back. He's now rolled to a sitting position. Jaguars holding their own offensively against Heppner. It's fascinating in that offensively, we'll back up. Last year, Heppner had their way offensively. They were able to march up and down the field largely with impunity, and they're able to do it again this year. But the prep offense last year could not get out of first gear. Gavin Baker, in particular, with a stretched vertical passing game, has been giving the Mustangs occasional fits. And if the Jaguars can finish drive, this is a closer game. Lindsey has got up, and he's walking under his own power back to the sideline. Perhaps he just got the wind knocked out of him because he looks to be in pretty good shape now. Gavin Baker at this point is now, he had 95, so we're at 139 yards passing for the game. Far and away having his most efficient and effective game at quarterback. The Jaguars come back out. We have three wide to the left. Hogan Jones is on his own to the right on the wide end of the field. Ball's on the left hash. Baker has an empty backfield. Now Dixon's in motion, and the handoff. No, it's that quarterback draw again, and this time Heppner read it pretty well. They met Baker in the backfield, and they're going to drag him down for a loss. Looks to be a 2-yard loss, so credit that as a sack. The ball's going to be back at the 18. Now take it back. They're going to mark that the 17, so a 2-yard loss. Dan Whitsitt is a running coach. He prefers to run the ball when he can, and boy, if he finds a play that works, he's going to keep running until you show him it doesn't work anymore. Two wide receivers split wide to either side. Empty backfield. Jacob Amato on the right side, tight end. Ball on the left hash. Dixon in motion and the handoff. This time his hand is jet sweep. Tries to turn the corner. Now he's going to turn and cut up past into the middle. But no one can bring him down. And he manages finally to fight and claw and scratch his way. Oh, not quite to the original line of scrimmage. They're going to say he came down at about the 18th. So that's going to be a loss of 1. And the Jaguars, with this possession, having had some success running, the last two plays have definitely not worked. Jaguars facing what looks to be a 3rd and 13 from their 18. 4:07 to go here in the second quarter. Heppner up 32-0. Jaguars split. Two wide receivers split to either side. Empty backfield. Jacob Amato on the left tight end. Baker looks for the signal from the sideline. Now is ready to take the snap. He takes it. He's looking right. Now he's looking left. Now he's throwing left, and he's got Kyle Dixon wide open across the middle. He takes it in for the touchdown. Heppner gets a little taste of their own medicine, and Jaguars play that crossing across the middle, and Baker hits Dixon for an 18-yard TD strike, and the Jaguars are on the board. Nice-looking play. Nice drive. Hogan Jones on for the point after touchdown. attempt. Nice play. That was a nice, well-executed, crisp pass. Good-looking play. Zerick Baker waiting for the snap, and it's too high. It's going to be over his head, and Jones is running after it, and he's just going to have to fall on it. So we have four failed point after touchdown attempts here. Three by Hefner and one by the Jaguars. 3:42 to go first half. And the Jaguars are on the board. Hefner 32, Tri-Cities Prep 6. You're listening to Jaguar Football on 100.7 FM KHSS.
See, Sausage Fest hits the Walla Walla area, and that means delicious sausage. Then again, I just love those legendary Pepe's salads, you know, with Jerry's creamy blue cheese dressing. Let's see, I'll go Friday and have a super salad, and then I'll go back Saturday for my sausage. No, wait, I'll have a sausage Saturday morning, and then another super salad in the afternoon. Oh, and a cold beer, too. Yeah, Sausage Fest, the first weekend in October at DeSales Catholic School.
This is KHSS. Walla Walla Walla.
2:42 to go here in the second quarter. Hefner firmly in control, 32-6, but the Jaguars just marched 67 yards and scored a touchdown on a beautiful 18-yard over-the-middle route from Gavin Baker to Colin Dixon. And Hogan Jones gets to kick the ball off. The Mustangs have got C.J. Kendall, one of many Mustangs who've been terrorizing the Jaguars this evening, deep to receive. Hogan addresses the ball, and he drives it into the left side. Kendall's going to watch it bounce into the end zone for a touchback. Kendall gave chase for a moment, and he said, forget it. Hogan Jones has one of the best legs that you will see at this level of football. He had what I call the 47-yard field goal against Danfield. And it is not uncommon from the hash that he's going to drive the ball into the end zone, and high school players are going to say, no, if it's 7 yards deep, I'm not going to bother. So from the 20, Hefner, who has had their way on offense, they have not been stopped yet. They come out in a modified wing tee, and they hand the ball off to the back in motion is Logan Greed. He wants to run around right end, and he does. He has blockers in front of him and manages to get past the 25 to 27. So it's a gain of 7 for Greed. Second and 3. The PA folks have it down as a 2nd and 5. That is not possible. That is 2nd and 3. You'd think the homers would set themselves up, but Smith in shotgun. He has Brettfield in the backfield behind him, and Smith wants to throw, and he's looking right, and he's got a man in triple coverage. Oh, my goodness gracious. That was nearly picked up by Colin Dixon. Jake Lindsey had people all around him, and Smith might have been – Smith is a sophomore, and I think this is his first start of the season, and that was an ill-advised pass. There were – 3 Jaguars around the receiver, and 2 of them arguably could have made a play on the call. Dixon actually broke the pass up. So the Mustangs tried to go vertical, and that did not work so terribly well that time. Smith has Brettfield in the backfield behind him. He sends Dixon in motion, and it's a delayed handoff to Brettfield, who gets met by Riddle at the 30-yard line, and then carries Riddle up, and then breaks free. He's now past the 40 before he finally gets dragged down at the Tri-City Scrub 30 by Bennett Peterson. So Brettfield with a delayed handoff carries the tackler, then breaks the tackler and gets all the way down to the Tri-Cities Prep 30. Yep. That's a 43-yard gain for Brettfield on that delayed handoff. And Hefner's driving down the field again. This time they come out in the genuine spread. They have 3 wide receivers split wide to either side. Brettfield to the backfield is Smith, and Smith wants to throw. He's looking right, and he's throwing right. And Kendall makes a great catch. He came back around to get it. Tony Van Hout with the coverage on that play, but Kendall snuck around him and managed to gather the ball in before he ended up getting brought down about 23-yard line, so gain of 7. 2nd and a long 3, 2:11 to go, And Heppner still trying to drive. They have three wide receivers split wide to the left. Redfield is in the backfield with Smith. And the handoff is, nope, it's a screen to the left to Kendall, and he has his blockers, and he gets into the second echelon before he finally gets brought down by, I want to say that's Will DeTurry, but not before Kendall gets down to about the 14-yard line, so a gain of 9, and the Mustangs in a hurry. They come out quickly, three wide to the right. Redfield in the backfield. The Baker's handoff is to him, and the ball gets fumbled. Smith manages to gather it back in, but he just lays on the ground as Bennett Peterson tags him out. And a loss is taken on the play, and we have a timeout, I believe, Tri-Cities Prep. So with 1:45 to get that timeout, Heppner. With 1:45 to go, we'll be back with more. Heppner up on Prep 32-6. You're listening to Jaguar Football on 100.7 FM, KHSS.
You know, you hear so many advertisements for home loans, so many mortgage companies offering you this deal or that deal, but I know from experience where the true home loan help is. It's the Home Loan Center in Tim Appleby. Tim Appleby is an expert in helping renters finally purchase a home of their own with 100% loan and no money down. Honest, driven, and truly on my side. Stop throwing money away on rent. With Tim Appleby, you can turn that rent money into home ownership. Call Tim Appleby and get started on home ownership today. Go to GoBestLoan.com. A division of American Pacific Mortgage. Tim Appleby, license 31404.
This is KHSS Walla Walla.
1:45 to go here in the first half. Heppner in control and driving. They are facing, however, first and 18. They lost 8 on what was technically a sack and a bungled snap. They have to get to the 4-yard line. They are on the Prep 22. Smith has three wide receivers, one split left. That one's now in motion. He has Dixon in the back, Kendall rather, in the backfield with him. And before Smith can gather in the ball, the whistles blow, and I've got a feeling this is going to be procedure against Heppner. Dead ball. Nope, they're calling offsides against Tri-City's Prep, so that's a 5-yard penalty. Yes. 5-yard penalty puts the ball on the 17, so now instead of 2nd and 18, Heppner faces a 2nd and 13. Smith with an empty backfield, throws across the middle, and it almost got picked off. Boy, Tony Van Hout had the look of his life right there. That ball was intended for Weston Putnam, who already has a touchdown on a pick 6, but Tony Van Hout had the position. And frankly, the ball hit him right in the numbers. I think he was surprised. He had an opportunity. That was not going to be a pick 6, but he had a chance to end this Heppner drive. 3rd and 13 now. Smith is going to come out with a 2 tight end set. We have one wide receiver. We've got Kendall in the background with Smith, and Smith is going to end up handing to Grebe, who turns and spins and gets into the second echelon before he's finally dragged down from behind by Zarek Baker, but not before he got to the 5-yard line. That presents, yeah, according to my math, that's a 4th and 1, and the way Heppner runs the ball, I doubt that they're going to go for a field goal here. 1:16 to go. Jaguars have a gut check right here. They've got a chance to actually stop Heppner. They come out with a double tight end set. Kendall's in the background. The handoff is to Creamy. Tackle in the backfield. I believe that was Zarek Baker. Will DeTurry trips up Kendall in the backfield, and the drive is stalled. Gut check. Complete. Uncle Mo actually squats for a moment on the Tri-Cities Prep sideline. The Jaguars stopped the Heppner drive for the first time with a minute to go here in the second quarter, and now they have, I love writing down TOD right there for Heppner, they have a 1st down on their 9-yard line. Seventy-nine-yard drive, all for naught. Baker has three wide receivers split wide to the left. He is 3 to the left and 2 to the right. This is the biggest spread you'll ever see. And now he's running it up the middle. He's past the 10. He's going to turn the corner to the 15. Lays down his shoulder, gets down to the 18. That's tough gut running there by Gavin Baker. And the Jaguars, I think, catching And Dan Whitsitt now. Yeah, Dan Whitsitt wants a timeout. He wants to stretch this out as long as he can. So with 45 seconds to go, Jaguars have the ball, and they've got Uncle Mo squatting on the sidelines. Hefner 32, Tri-Cities Prep 6. We'll be back with more. You're listening to Jaguar Football on 100.7 FM, KHSS.
In the mid-1990s, when Tri-Cities Prep was still but a dream for many, the great Monsignor Desmond Dillon had a vision for the school. He said that he wanted Tri-Cities Prep to be a place where students can come to know God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Since welcoming its first students in 1998, these words have been woven into the fabric of Tri-Cities Prep, reminding us that, first and foremost, Tri-Cities Prep is a Catholic high school, a community of faith. To learn more, visit tcprep.org. That's tcprep.org.
Some fast food restaurants serve what they call Mexican food. Why settle for second best when you can go to Taco John's, a real Mexican restaurant at 701 West Vineyard Avenue in Kennewick? Sometimes it might take a little longer at Taco John's, but it's always fresh, always delicious. Taco John's has a reputation for serving some of the finest Mexican food available. Located across from Kennewick High School, that's Taco John's, where there's a whole lot of Mexican going on.
This is KHSS Walla Walla.
45 seconds to go to the second quarter. Two wide receivers split wide out of sight. Baker's going to tuck in and run again. He's going to get past the 20 before he runs head first into Kevin Murray. But Baker, not before Baker's able to get past the 20-yard line and get a Tri-Cities Prep first down. So the Jaguars, not only do they stop Hefner on fourth down, they proceed to get another first down, and Dan Whitson wants this to continue. He'll call another timeout. 37 seconds to go. Hefner 32. Prep 6, but driving. You're listening to Jaguar Football on 100.7 FM KHSS.
Planning your will and health care directives can be an overwhelming experience. An attorney who specializes in these matters can ensure that you, your property, and your loved ones are taken care of in the best possible manner. For over 10 years, Richland's Mario Ledesma at Ledesma Law Offices on Jadwin Avenue has been helping families with estate planning, community property agreements, health care directives, wills, and transfer of property. He also specializes in discrimination and employment-related issues. Call Ledesma Law Offices at 946-1248. That's 946-1248.
This is KHSS Walla Walla.
37 seconds to go here, second quarter. Tri-Cities Prep with a first down on their 21-yard line. They are trailing by 26, but they've been driving. Baker has Dixon in the backfield with him. Two wide receivers split wide to either side. Baker takes a snap, fades back. He's looking right now. He's going to get tackled in the backfield, and there's a flag on the play. And I think that's going to be holding against Prep. So the question is Hefner going to take the sack, or are they going to take the hold, just based on where the flag is placed? Looking for the signal from the referee. He's consulting with the defense, which means that is a Prep penalty. It's almost certainly holding based on where the flag was placed and what was happening during the play. No, we ended up having an illegal block. Still haven't heard if Hefner's going. Nope, they're going to go ahead and mark this off. So from the 21, the ball is now going to go all the way back to the 11, so 10-yard penalty, repeat first down, but the Jaguars are now facing a first and 20 from their own 10.
First down.
DA guys, is first down in a long, long ways. I think we can be a little bit more specific than that. Dixon in the backfield, two wide receivers split wide to the other side. I take that back. Dixon's going to go in motion. That was a motto in the backfield. And they're going to say movement on the part of the Jaguars. So the Jaguars, having done actually quite well on offense the last two possessions and at the beginning of this possession, but now suddenly they've kind of forgotten what they're supposed to be doing, and they've backed themselves all the way back to the 5 with a first down and 25. Amato again in the backfield. Dixon goes in motion. Gavin back to pass. He's throwing way deep. Overthrew his receiver, Colin Dixon. And the free safety was lurking back there. Jake Lindsay, I think, And if he had the height of Wilt Chamberlain, he could have picked that thing up. And I take that back. That's Ryan Smith. So Baker had his man, but he had the yips. Ball's thrown just a little too high, so it'll be second and 25. Dixon's going to come off the field. Valencia now is going to go in. Jones and Riddle are going to split to the right, as is Amato. Peterson will be alone on the left. Valencia's in the backfield with Baker, second and 25 from their own five, and the handoff is to Valencia, who's met right away. He's met behind the line of scrimmage. I want to say that is by Tim Yaka. And you're going to loss of one on that play. And at this point, with 10 seconds to go, I think Dan Winston is simply willing to go into the locker room and lick his wounds. And, yeah, no one's going to try and stop the clock. So that'll be the end of the first half. With Hefner largely in control, 32-6. We're going to take an extended break here, but when we come back, we'll break down the first half, take a look at the scoring, take a look at what the Jaguars have actually done right. There's some hope on offense here, and try and get an evaluation of what the Jaguars need to do to succeed in the second half. We're at halftime, Hefner 32, Tri-Cities Prep 6. You're listening to Jaguar Football on 100.7 FM KHSS.
This week, beginning on Wednesday, September 30th, Catholic radio stations around the Northwest will join with Sacred Heart Radio in Seattle to share one broadcast, one fundraiser, to benefit each individual radio station. When you support our Share-a-thon this week, that support will come directly to Holy Spirit Sanctifier Catholic Radio, which built the radio station you are listening to right now, and which will keep this radio station on the air. Whether it's 100.7 FM KHSS Walla Walla, 107.3 FM KTNH Walla Walla, 105.9 FM KOLH Hermiston, 103.3 FM KFUZ Lewiston Clarkston, or our new Spanish station, 103.9 FM KSVM Walla Walla. Please pray for the success of our Share-a-thon and consider your financial support of Holy Spirit Sanctifier Catholic Radio. For more information, visit khssradio.com.
Yo, Uncle Louie, what's the matter? How you doing? Something wrong? Oh, not again. You got to take her down to Cugini's. You got to get some of them sandwiches. You got to get some of that homemade lasagna and homemade ravioli. You got to get some of that stuff they make down there. It's fantastic. You won't believe it. You take that home, you cook that up, you get some sausage, you get some salami. She won't know what to do. She'll be eating out of your hands. Uncle Louie, have I ever lied to you? This place is crazy good. Buonapazzo, 960 Wallula Avenue. Gabish.
KHSS has a long tradition of broadcasting high school sports to our Walla Walla and Tri-Cities listeners over the airwaves of 100.7 FM and worldwide over the Internet. Since the fall of 97, KHSS has broadcasted more than 1,000 DeSales High School athletic contests. This year, we are broadcasting Tri-Cities Prep Games, and we'd like to invite you to be a part of it. If you have a business and would like to sponsor our Tri-Cities Prep broadcast, or you know somebody who does, call us here at KHSS at 525-7878. That's 525-7878.
Canyon Lakes Golf Course is the Tri-Cities' highest rated and most popular golf course. Buy your 2016 yearly or Twilight membership and get the rest of this year free. Buy your 2016 VIP membership for $395, and it starts today. Start your monthly membership for $100, and they'll prorate your current month. For more information, go to CanyonLakesGolfCourse.com. Why play the rest when you can play the best? Canyon Lakes Golf Course.
This portion of the broadcast brought to you by Roach and Bishop Law Offices, located in Pasco, providing over 50 years of quality service in the practice of personal injury law, DUI defense, family law, estate planning, and probate. Roach and Bishop Law Offices, proud sponsors of Jaguar Athletics.
So what can you find at a Catholic supply company? A lot. School uniforms, books, gifts, cards, artwork, school curricula for parochial schools and homeschools, vestments, liturgical books, missals, and people who dearly love the Catholic faith. With their buying power, Blessed on First Catholic Supply Company will be able to save parishes and Catholic schools some money, and individual parishioners as well. Come see us at Blessed on First, 120 West 1st Avenue, Kennewick.
Fall is now here, which means the weather's caught somewhere between winter and summer. But even as temperatures change outside, your comfort doesn't have to, because a new Lennox heating and cooling system from Campbell & Company preserves your comfort all year long. Right now, you can enjoy a rebate of up to $1,700 with the purchase of a qualifying new Lennox heating and cooling system. Go to TrustCampbell.com for details. Campbell & Company, trusted home comfort solutions for over 30 years.
This is KHSS Walla Walla.
We're at halftime here at Heppner. Small town football at its finest. I believe Heppner has its homecoming royalty out, and they've got the convertibles bringing them in. They've got a feedable convertible. They've got a Viper convertible. They've got a gorgeous Shelby Mustang out there, and then a Mustang convertible on top of that. Heppner 32, Tri-City Prep 6. I will be perfectly upfront. I think this game is going better than I had any reason to think it would. The Jaguars lost to Heppner in Hermiston last year, 47-7, and the Jaguars' touchdown came during garbage time towards the end of the game. The Jaguar offense could not get going last year. Heppner had their way on offense. They marched up and down the field with impunity. Tonight, this is a different story. Now, Heppner has put up 314 yards against the Jaguars with a mix of run and pass. They have a balanced attack. They consistently get 6-7 yards on virtually every touch. Offensively, the Jaguars are outmatched. The Jaguar defense is pretty much outmatched against the Heppner offense. But the Jaguar offense has put up 267 yards of offense thus far. Gavin Baker has thrown a lot of passes. He's 7 for 21, which doesn't sound like much. He's thrown for 194 yards, far and away his most productive evening of the season thus far, with one touchdown and one interception. Now, granted, that interception was a pick six, and that does factor into the scoring summary, which I'm going to give right now. Heppner, well, at 32-6, and Heppner at one point was up 32-0. All of the scores are going to involve them, starting with a 20-yard touchdown run by Bradfield. The Greek point after touchdown was good. The Jaguars, then on their second possession of the game, they mounted a 72-yard drive that ended up turning the ball over on downs at the Heppner 3-yard line. That is telling. If the Jaguars have been able to punch it in, the score looks a little bit different. Heppner then proceeds to mount a 97-yard drive with the touchdown coming on a 36-yard from quarterback Kevin Smith. Yes, Kevin Smith to C.J. Kimball. The point after touchdown failed, 13-0 Heppner. The Jaguars then proceed to drive from the 16 to their 50, and this is where the pick six took place. Gavin Baker's had trouble reading horizontal defenses for much of the season. He's getting better at it. But here he made a mistake. He failed to see Putnam in traffic, and Putnam picked it off at top speed, pick six, and Heppner runs it in again. But once again, the PAT failed, and you have a 19-0 Heppner lead. And that is how the first quarter ended. Second quarter, second play from scrimmage, Smith to Putnam for an 11-yard touchdown. And this time, Greek does manage to hit the PAT. The Jaguars mount a 43-yard drive, but they end up turning the ball over on downs. Heppner, once again, drives 67 yards. Smith to Kindle again for another touchdown, but again, the kick failed, this time due to a bad snap. And then the Jaguars, this is where things kind of start to turn around. Jaguars mount a 67-yard drive, and they finish it with a 18-yard Gavin Baker to Colin Dixon pass across the middle. PAT fails again, once again this time to a bad snap, but the Jaguars get on the board 32-6. Heppner then gets the ball back, and this is where things get potentially interesting. Heppner drove the ball all the way down to the Tri-Cities Prep 5-yard line. They had a 4th-and-1, and they've been getting consistently 4, 5, 6, 7-yard gains. They try to run around the left end with Logan Greek, but Will Dettori trips him up behind the line of scrimmage, and Tri-Cities Prep forces Heppner to turn the ball over on downs. On the subsequent drive, less than a minute to go, the Jaguars ended up going into reverse. They commit penalties and have all sorts of problems. But nevertheless, there are signs of life here. I talked to a You gotta love small town football. Everybody comes. Everybody is here. The whole town is here. They've got, I mentioned at the beginning of the game, we have a set of bleachers that are facing away from us across the field. That is for the rodeo grounds. Those bleachers are full. There's a whole bunch of people sitting over there. The covered bleachers, which are on our side, are packed with people. The parking lot is full. All the old timers are here. And I say this with the greatest respect. I love small town football. One of the things I love about getting the opportunity to broadcast Tri-Cities Prep football is you get a chance to go to towns like Soap Lake. You get a chance to go to towns like Hepner. We're going to go to Umatilla next week. We're going to go to Enterprise the following week. You get to go to Waitsburg. You get to go to Asotin. And you see the whole town turn out, and it's just an event. And typically people are really friendly, which obviously makes it great fun. But when I took the first break after halftime, I ran into an old-timer, and I said, geez, do you guys ever lose? Because in the last 2 years, I think the Mustangs have lost 2 games. They've both been Oregon State title games. And this old-timer, you know, he's got the Mustang colors on, and he's got the Mustang blue hat. You know that any time that Hefner's playing at home, this guy's checking them out. I said, do you ever lose? He said, well, no, we really don't, but I'll tell you something. I'll tell you something, young man, for nothing. You guys are far and away the best team we've seen this year, which is kind of fascinating. That's kind of high praise because they have lost to Grant Union, which is no slouch, and they've lost to Imbler, which at least in the past has had a history of fielding very, very powerful small-town Oregon football teams. So the Jaguars are showing some progress. Dan Whitsitt said, after watching Hepner film, he said, my primary concern is making sure we get out of Hepner with everybody healthy. And I'm going to arrange for this game to be run in such a way so that minimum risk is set to the player. He's done an outstanding job of that. No one's gotten even remotely hurt than I've been able to see on the prep sideline. Hepner's had 3 guys down at various times, and the offense has been running in such a way as to prevent big hits from coming and playing into Hepner's strength. And on top of that, again, the Jaguars, relatively speaking, they're piling up the offense. They're having far more success against the Hepner defense than they did last year. So there's your first half summary, as well as kind of a hometown assessment as to how prep looks. We're going to take another break, and when we return, we'll take a look at what the Jaguars need to do to succeed in the second half. And I'm not kidding. There's a possibility, however remote, the Jaguars can actually claw their way back into this game. In the meantime, we'll take a break. We've got about 9 minutes left at halftime with Hepner leading 32-6 over your Jaguars. You're listening to Jaguar Football on 100.7 FM KHSS.
Ideal Jewelry and Boutique in Richland carries boutique items such as clothing, purses, scarves, hats, jewelry, and more. Owner Tammy Davenport has designed many of the jewelry pieces herself, making them unique and one-of-a-kind, yet affordable. They also have a beautiful collection of handmade rosaries that you have to hold in your hand to fully appreciate. And 100% of the rosary proceeds goes to KHSS Catholic Radio. Visit Ideal Jewelry and Boutique at 1950 Keene Road, Q1, Richland, or call 366-1873.
If you have a family, you'll eventually need a good lawyer who is skilled at family law. Since 1976, Quattle Law Offices have specialized in all areas of family law, including child custody and support, adoptions, divorce, wills and estates, property divisions, and complex litigation. Pat Quattle was one of the first women to practice law in the Tri-Cities and has been recognized for outstanding volunteer legal services in the Tri-Cities community. Call Quattle Law Offices today at 943-3331. That's 943-3331.
Prepare to have your car buy-in experience redimensioned. Joe Klein and McCurley Integrity Dealerships can get you the wheels of your dreams with a simple phone call. Whether new or used, whether it's for personal, business, or commercial use, and whether it's Chevy, Cadillac, Toyota, Honda, Subaru, Mazda, or Mercedes, give Joe Klein a chance to show you how easy it can be to buy a car through McCurley's fleet side. The money and time you'll save will astound you. Call Joe Klein today at 366-5159. That's 366-5159.
Keeping your smile healthy is our number one goal at Gillek Family Dentistry. Since 1981, Dr. Gillek and his staff have been providing quality dental care in a friendly, caring atmosphere. Dr. Gillek's general, cosmetic, and sports dentistry always have you, the patient, in mind. Gillek Family Dentistry is located across from Broadmoor Mall at 9221 Sandifer Parkway. Call 547-0730 to learn more about how we can help keep your smile healthy. That's 547-0730. for Gillette Family Dentistry.
This is KHSS Walla Walla.
We're in half time here at Hefner, and the Mustangs are in control 32-6. But I mentioned before our last break that we can talk about possibilities of how Prep might actually be able to fight their way back into this game. I indicated, he hinted that it felt that Prep coming into this game really had no prayer. And when Dan Witzel told me he was playing for, he was organizing plays designed to secure player safety, I thought that he was almost somewhat saying the same thing. But the Jaguars are playing much better football against Hefner this year than they did last year. And last year, we had a senior-heavy team that had far more experience, that had gelled much more as a functioning unit. And Hefner blew the Jaguars out in Hermiston. That technically was a home game, 47-7. And Prep's lone touchdown came during garbage time. Interestingly, that touchdown came... No, I take it back. I want to say Gavin Baker threw that touchdown, but no, that's incorrect. I believe that was a rushing touchdown. But that came late. Hefner was completely in control of that game, both offensively and defensively. Offensively, Hefner was marching up and down the field with impunity, and defensively, they were stopping everything Prep had to potentially throw at them. This is the team that had Dean Peterson, a quarterback, and Rama Rudolph and Alex Montelongo, a tailback. That was a team that went 7-3. That was a team whose offense, particularly rushing, got to be extremely explosive later in the season, but they were unable to do anything against Hefner. A state 1A runner-up. They played in the championship game the year before. This year, this prior year, the 2014 season, again, they played in the championship game. They played against Burns. Burns was a team that had a notable running attack, and Hefner was keyed in on that running attack. But Burns surprised Hefner by coming out with a balanced attack, a balance of both running and passing, and Hefner was kind of helpless against Burns' passing attack, and consequently Burns was able to win the championship. That is the key, ultimately, to the Jaguars' success. Gavin Baker is only 7-for-21. Part of the reason he's 7-for-21 is that receivers drop balls. When he has hit them on target and the receivers have carried on the ball, it's been first down, and occasionally, at least in the one instance, also touchdown. So the Jaguar passing attack, they need to keep attacking the Hefner secondary. If Hefner has a weakness on either side of the ball, it is their secondary. They can't be stretched. They are vulnerable both to a sidelines vertical attack stretch passing game. They're also somewhat vulnerable over the middle. Although they do, Gavin in particular, Gavin Baker, has got to watch out for number 24, their 6-foot, 180-pound linebacker, C.J. Kindle. That's on the offensive side of the ball. The Jaguars have had multiple successful marches down the field. They need to continue doing that, and they need to actually properly punch the thing in. The most challenging thing for the Jaguars being down 26, and yeah, that's an awfully long row to hoe. But they did show on that last possession, they actually stopped Hefner on a first and goal setting. Hefner was prepared to punch, sorry, it was not a first and goal. They needed to get a first down at the Tri-Cities Prep 4, and at one point they had a 4th-and-1 on the 5, and Prep stopped them. That shows that they actually can arrest this Hefner offense. And I've seen with it before. I've seen these Prep teams come out looking different in the second half. If they can make those defensive adjustments and they actually can stop Hefner on offense, I'm going to say they're going to have to do it at least 3 times in this half. If they're able to do that and if they continue to have success on offense, particularly with that vertical stretch passing game, and punch it in the end, remember on Prep's second possession, they had a first and goal on Hefner's 3, were unable to punch it in, and they end up turning the ball over on down. That touchdown goes in, and the pick 6 does not get thrown. You're not looking at a 32-6 game. You are looking at a 25-13 or 25-14 game, and that is an entirely different style of game. And we're just a couple of plays away from that sort of score. So they've got a long road to hoe. But to be perfectly honest, I would have said coming into the game at halftime, it's like, okay, we're playing for pride, boys. There's a possibility here. There's a possibility. This team is really starting to come together this evening. Let's see if they can continue to do it when we come back with the second half. The clock's showing a little bit under 2 minutes. So And Tri-Cities Prep is already out there warming up. So when we return, we ought to be back with the second half kickoff. You're listening to Jaguar Football on 100.7 FM KHSS.
Okay, Dad, let me get this straight. You're telling me that most homes in Walla Walla now have a program that has no down payment so people can buy a home with zero down?
That's right, son.
People can come see you and you will help them get a 100% loan with no cost?
I sure will.
Wow, that's amazing!
Hi, I'm Tim Appleby. Come into the Home Loan Center and let me help you get started on your 100% loan at no cost. Check us out at gobestloan.com.
A division of American Pacific Mortgage. Tim Appleby, license 31404.
Are you suffering from Pepe's salad withdrawal? I mean, when was the last time you had one of those crisp, delicious Pepe's salads? Perhaps you had one at the Catholic Schools Fair booth Labor Day weekend. Well, my friend, Pepe's salads will be available for a limited time the first weekend in October at Sausage Fest, along with delicious sausage, a beer garden, dancing, and loads of fun for the entire family. Sausage Fest, the first weekend in October at DeSales Catholic School, 919 East Sumac, Walla Walla.
In the mid-1990s, when Tri-Cities Prep was still but a dream for many, the great Monsignor Desmond Dillon had a vision for the school. He said that he wanted Tri-Cities Prep to be a place where students can come to know God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Since welcoming its first students in 1998, these words have been woven into the fabric of Tri-Cities Prep, reminding us that, first and foremost, Tri-Cities Prep is a Catholic high school, a community of faith. To learn more, visit tcprep.org. That's tcprep.org.
This is KHSS Walla Walla.
12 minutes showing on the board here. We're about to have the third quarter kickoff. If you just joined us, it has been largely Heppner, 32-6 over the Jaguars. Although I hate to talk about moral victories. Heppner did gain 314 yards in the first half. Tri-Cities Prep gained 267 yards. 193 yards in the air by Gavin Baker. He has a touchdown and an interception. By far his most productive game thus far this season. And the Jaguars, interestingly, stopped Heppner late in the first half. If they can stop Heppner in the second half, who knows what can happen. Hogan Jones set to kick off. And I see C.J. Kimble is on his goal line. The last time Hogan kicked off, Kimble was about his 15, and he just kind of watched the ball sail over his head after the prep touchdown and said, well, I'm going to have to stand back farther in the future. So that's what he's doing. And Jones approaches the ball, and he gives a high end-over-end kick to Kimble. He's going to have to run up and gather in about the 13, and he tries to run straight up the middle looking for some running room, and then he got tripped up by Tony Van Hout as he got to the 35-yard line, and Kimble, being a rather tall boy, stretches forward to, we're going to say, the 37. So this will be first down Heppner. And gut check time for the Jaguars. The last time Heppner had the ball, the Jaguars stopped them. And if they want to have any prayer, have anything to do with this game, this drive right here, set the tone for the second half, they have got to stop the Mustangs again. The 6'4", 140-pound quarterback, Kevin Smith, fumbles the snap. He then hands it off to Bradfield, who is in the backfield with him. But that fumbled snap kept Bradfield from getting out of first gear. And a gain of two. They'll make it three to the 40. And Jesus Higuereta with a tackle on that play. That's good. With running plays up the gut, you want defensive linemen making the stop, and that's what happened there. Mustangs come out in the spread, three wide to the right, one to the left. Bradfield in the backfield with Smith. Smith wants to throw. He gets hammered as he releases the ball. Jacob Amato came tearing in from the left end and blasted Smith as he released the ball and ended up getting a wounded duck. And Smith comes to the sidelines, and in fact, the Heppner coach is irritated. He's calling a timeout. So 11:17 to go here in the third quarter. Heppner suddenly wants a timeout. We'll be back with more with Heppner leading Tri-Cities Prep 32-6. You're listening to Jaguar Football on 100.7 FM KHSS.
Some fast food restaurants serve what they call Mexican food. Why settle for second best when you can go to Taco John's, a real Mexican restaurant at 701 West Vineyard Avenue in Kennewick? Sometimes it might take a little longer at Taco John's, but it's always fresh, always delicious. Taco John's has a reputation for serving some of the finest Mexican food available. Located across from Kennewick High School, that's Taco John's, where there's a whole lot of Mexican going on.
This is KHSS Walla Walla.
Hebner head coach Greg Grant is not happy with what he's seeing his offense show the first two plays here of the second half. They got a 3-yard run on their first carry with a defensive line tackle first of the game. And then Kevin Smith, the 6'4", 140-pound quarterback, goes back to pass, tries to complete a screen on the flat, and Jacob Amato came barreling in from the left defensive end position and leveled Smith just as he released the ball. They had no prayer being an incomplete pass. So it is 3rd and 7. Hepner now with a wing T formation, and the handoff is to Kindle, who wants to sweep around right end, and he manages to get around the corner before he finally gets chased down by Colton Tinnan, the freshman middle linebacker. But not before Kindle was able to get to the 45-yard line, which leaves Hepner now with a 4th and 2. Now, the last time Hepner had a 4th down, they had a 4th and 1 on the Tri-Cities Prep 5, and Will DeTurry broke through the line and tripped up the runner. Let's see what happens here. This is gut check time. Redfield's in the background in the wing tee with Smith, and with Smith and shotgun, and the handoff is to Redfield, and he manages to get to the 48. That's good for a gain of 3 and a Hepner 1st down. So the gut check on that next 4th down did not prove anything, but we have some changes here in the Hepner offense. They, in the first half, they were getting 6, 7, 8 yards at least on every touch. And suddenly now we're facing like 2 and 3 or less. Mustangs come out in the wing tee. Redfield in the backfield with Smith. To the right of Smith, and the handoff is to Redfield, and he gets met at the line of scrimmage. The line closed down on him and shut the door and said, "Not on your Nelly," and actually shoved him back for a loss. That'll be a loss of 1, 2nd and 11, and all of a sudden the defensive line, which was just getting manhandled in the first half, is coming out playing with fire. Smith goes to the sideline, actually, to get the play. Now he comes into the huddle and reads it to his crew. Now they approach the ball. They're coming out in a wing set. Redfield is in the backfield with Smith. Smith takes the snap and fumbles the snap, but it's on the ground. It's anybody's ball. This may be prep ball. That is prep ball, ladies and gentlemen. Brought to you by Jesus Figueroa. Fumble recovery by the defensive line. And I said the Jaguars need the gut check, and there you have it. You can't ask for anything better. Fumble and recovery by the Jaguars, and they are in business at the Hepner 45. We said we needed to stop, and by golly, the defensive line delivers. Jaguars come out in the spread. They have 2 wide to either side. They'll have Dixon in the backfield to the left of Baker. We have Amato and Jones to our right, and we're going to have Riddle and Peterson on the left. Baker takes the snap. He's looking over the middle. He's throwing long down to the left. We got a flag on the play. The ball was intended for Bennett Peterson. Logan Green had coverage on the play based on where the flag, and we have 2 flags. This almost certainly is holding against the Jaguars. The referee, and he's signaling for Hepner defensive people, so yeah, this is going to be. It was not a hold. It was an illegal block. It's difficult to tell. Our referee faces away from us, and he's simply not that. He's not that demonstrative, so it's difficult to tell what is going on. The Jaguars are on their 45-yard line now, and they need to reach about the Hepner 35, so you're looking at pretty much a 1st and 20. 3 wide receivers to the right, 1 to the left. Amato at left tight end. There is an empty backfield. Baker, again, is always in shotgun unless otherwise told. He's looking to the right. He throws across the middle, in and out of the hands of Colin Dixon, and very nearly into the hands of Ryan Smith. So Baker's first official pass of the second half falls incomplete. And he threw a bullet, Colin Dixon, that was a little bit behind him. And you can get into arguments about how much of that was placed about the ball by the quarterback, how much of that was the receiver simply didn't make the commit to the catch. And that was one of those where could have gone either way. Dixon could have made a play on the ball, but at the same time, Gavin could have placed the ball a little better. Three wide to the right, one to the left. Dixon to the left of Baker in the backfield. Heppner wants to blitz, and they're coming at Baker, and they're going to get him in the backfield all the way back behind the 35 down to the 32. And big loss on the play. The Jaguars are going to face third and forever on this play. That was a loss of 13, and they were already facing a first of 20. So, or sorry, second and 20. So you're talking about third and 33. The Jaguars are on their 33, and they have to get to the Heppner 35. Jaguars show three wide to the right again. They have Peterson alone on the left. Empty backfield. And it's a middle screen to Colin Dixon that Dixon wasn't quite able to get a handle on and drop. So it's an incomplete pass, which actually is a blessing because there were four Heppner Mustangs ready to take Dixon down. So the Jaguars, while they got a big stop on Heppner, unfortunately throw things into reverse. They end up getting... And the snap is almost too high for Jones. He's having to run after it, and he's going to get, he's going to get tackled down at the 10. Snap was too high. He tried to make a play on the ball, but finally got chased down by Wyatt Stegall. And the Jaguars very much threw that one into reverse. That's minus 35. So Heppner, despite having been stopped on their first possession, the Jaguar offense did not take care of their end of the bargain. They throw the gears into reverse, and Heppner has a first and 10 just outside the prep 10-yard line. They can just get a first down. In the wing tee, Smith has Bradfield in the backfield behind him. And Smith fakes the hand. No, he does actually hand it off to Kindle, who went in motion from the left wing. And Kindle squeezes in past the 10 down to the 7. Call it a gain of 3. So technically 2nd and 7. The Mustangs can just get a first down without a touchdown. Smith in shotgun. They're showing the wing tee again, although they do have one receiver out to the right. Kindle is in the backfield with Smith. Smith takes the snap, and he hands off to Bradfield, who's sweeping around from left wing, and he got tackled just short of the goal line. He got tackled by Zarek Baker.
Third and a short yard.
And they're going to call this? No, they're not going to call. They are going to call this third down. They're going to call this third and a short yard. Some confusion on prep defense. Quarterback takes the snap, hands off to Kindle, who runs off right tackle and in for the Heppner touchdown. So during halftime, we talked about how the Jaguars needed to stop on defense to keep executing on offense, and the defense took care of business. They forced Heppner with what amounted to a 3-and-out. Well, no, they did get one. They did get one first down, but they stopped Heppner. But then on the subsequent possession, the Jaguar offense went totally in reverse. They lost 35 yards, and on the subsequent drive, Heppner was able to drive the 10 yards for the touchdown. And Heppner looks like in this case they are going for two. Smith is in shotgun with Kindle in the backfield behind him. Smith wants to pass, and he's looking across the field, and the ball got tipped and broken up. Colin Dixon was the man there. Logan Grieve was the intended receiver. But Dixon had a beat on the ball, and he leapt up and broke up the pass. So once again, point after touchdown fails for the fourth time for Heppner, but they still have a commanding lead with 7:15 to go here third quarter at 38-6 over your Tri-Cities Prep Jaguars. We'll be back with more. You're listening to Jaguar Football on 100.7 FM KHSS.
Planning your will and health care directives can be an overwhelming experience. An attorney who specializes in these matters can ensure that you, your property, and your loved ones are taken care of in the best possible manner. For over 10 years, Richland's Mario Ledesma at Ledesma Law Offices on Jadwin Avenue has been helping families with estate planning, community property agreements, health care directives, wills, and transfer of property. He also specializes in discrimination and employment-related issues. Call Ledesma Law Offices at 946-1248. That's 946-1248.
This is KHSS, Walla Walla.
7:15 to go here, third quarter. Heppner in command, 38-6. Although the Jaguars had a chance to have Uncle Moe squatting on their sideline, they stopped Heppner with their opening drive. And if the offense takes care of business, who knows what happens? But when the offense loses 35 yards on that possession, giving Heppner a very short field, it makes it difficult. Riggs' pooch kick bounces at the 35, gathered in at the 28 by Dixon, who runs towards the middle of the field. Now he's trying to cut up to the middle, tries to drive to the left, and he ends up, he should have just kept driving because Heppner is killer at pursuit. Dixon at one point was close to the 25-yard line, but in trying to find himself some running room, instead he ends up getting corralled at the 20. And the Jaguars will try again. I take it back. I guess they're marking at the 21. So Baker will come out with an empty backfield. He has Peterson, his lone receiver, on the left. He has three wide to the right. Those are usually Jones, Riddle, and Dixon. And Baker calls for the snap. He's looking left and throws left. That's Bennett Peterson just off of his shoe top. Ball was a little low. Bennett tried to make a play on the ball. I think he had his fingers on it, but then Logan Grebe enveloped him with real close coverage, so the ball falls incomplete. Gavin Baker 0 for 2 thus far this half. This time we come out with two wide to the left. Excuse me, two to the right, one to the left. Dixon's in the backfield. Lined up to the right of Baker. Then Baker takes the snap, and he's looking left, and just as he was about to throw, he ends up having to tuck it back in, and he gets dragged down behind the line of scrimmage.
Kevin Baker with the ball. I'm
going to credit Tim Nyaka with the sack on that play. Got him back at the 18-yard line, so a loss of three in the Jaguar offense. The Jaguar offense in reverse thus far in the second half. They made great strides with their offense working in the first half, but Heppner seems to have tightened up the holes in their secondary. Baker keeps having to tuck the ball. Three wide to the right. Peterson is alone on the left. Empty backfield. Baker takes a snap. He's looking right. Now he has to tuck in, and he has to run. And he tries to get past the 20, and he runs just head first into Weston Putnam, who clearly jolted Gavin. But Gavin just bounced right up like nothing happened. And he managed to get to the 22-yard line. So gain of four, pardon me in my adolescent voice, fourth and nine for the Jaguars means Hogan Jones is going to come out to punt. And the Jaguar offense not doing what they need to do here in the second half. Net offense thus far for the second half is minus 34 yards, and a bad snap forces Jones to run around. He managed to gather it in and gets off the punt. He takes a nice press out, gathered in by Kindle at the 40, but he managed to get past the 50. That's the 40, now to the 35 before. That is Tony Van Hout. Wrapped his hands around Kindle's ankles and arrested him at 35. And if he gets past Van Hout, that is a touchdown. So credit Tony Van Hout. He met his man in the middle of the field. He did not have the advantage. And he went down low, got his foot, and took care of it. Took care of business. Technically, that ball's on the 34. So Heppner once again with a short field. Kevin Smith out at quarterback again. And this for this possession, it looks like Heppner's coming out with spread. They have Bradfield in the backfield behind him, three wide to the left, one to the right. Smith wants to throw, throws across to the middle to Weston Putnam, but it's a little bit low, and bounces into Putnam's grasp, so that pass incomplete. Kevin Smith, not the permanent starter for the Heppner Mustangs. That is usually Caden Clark, who just gave the Jaguars fit last year. But Clark is in civvies. He's injured. So the 6'4", listed as 140-pound quarterback, is doing the signals for Heppner. Three wide left. Brett Fielden is in the backfield. And, oh, my gosh, Smith throws a strike to Logan Grebe. Over, I believe it was, no, it was over Cole Hyatt. And Hyatt is being spoken to by Colin Dixon about how to better defend that play. I've got to hand it to Smith. Smith, it was a perfectly placed ball. Grebe just had to put up his hands over his inside shoulder, and the ball was right there and gather it in. Hyatt had pretty good coverage on that. I'm not sure he could have done anything about it, though. It was a well-placed ball. Grieg on for the point after touchdown, and this time it's actually good for the first time in what seems like forever. And so with 5:14 to go in the third quarter, we are approaching the score of last year. Heppner 45, Tri-Cities Prep 6. We'll be back with more. You're listening to Jaguar Football on 100.7 FM KHSS.
Yo, you guys, listen up. I went down to Cagini's. I brought my sister in from New York and her husband. Man, they went back to New York. They haven't stopped talking yet about the food down at that place. I call them up and say, you got to shut up. I know it's good, okay? Tough luck you don't got it there. What am I going to do, huh? I'll tell you what I'm going to do for you. I'll send you a sandwich if I have to. I'll send you some ravioli. Man, it's delicious. I'll send you some of that cuoletella. It's fabulous. Cugini's, 960 Wallula Avenue, Buono Pazzo.
This is KHSS. Walla Walla.
5:14 to go here, third quarter. Jaguars lost last year to Heppner in Hermiston, 47-7. Right now it's 45-6. Special teams causing the Jaguars some fits, like it did last week with Mapton. With Mapton, we had two fumbled punts, and this time we've had two bad snaps. One snap was so bad, recovered by Jones at the 10. He made the best play he could on the ball. It gave Heppner a very short field, and then on the subsequent punt, bad downfield coverage resulted in a problem. This time, the Daisy Scorcher ground burner kickoff is gathered in at the 30 by Will DeTurry, who gathers it up, tampers to the 35, and then goes down. And I'll tell you, that quite possibly was an instruction by Dan Witsit, saying, when you see them coming, I want you going down. Because he did say that he was playing in part for the safety of his players against Heppner. Given the way DeTurry took the ball down, it's going to be marked at 34. Two wide receivers split wide to either side. Dixon in the backfield this time, to the left of Baker. Heppner acting like it's about to stunt. And nice screen to Dixon, who's got a wide open field. 45-50 before he's shoved out of bounds. That play is something that Whitford has been trying to make work more consistently. I take it back. I guess he was shoved out of bounds sooner than that. He shoved out of bounds at the 44. So call it second and one, but the reality is this is less than a foot. Call that really a 10-yard gain. Dixon in the backfield again, this time to the right of Baker. Two wide receivers split to either side. Baker back to pass. This time he's throwing long to Carter Riddle, who climbs the ladder, drives it in with one hand. It shoves out of bounds. That's the most athletic catch you're going to find the Jaguars making up thus far this season. Outstanding catch by Carter Riddle, who was the only one who could possibly catch that ball, and that's a gain of 8. First down, Jaguars. And we have a timeout on the field. Oh, dear. Riddle is limping. Riddle has done something, I believe, either to his left knee or ankle. He made an outstanding play on that ball, but he's unable to put any weight on that left foot. Yeah, it's either his knee or his ankle looking at how he's moving. He's able to put a little bit of weight on it now on the sideline right in front of me. In fact, he's actually walking on it quite well. I'm wondering if he just stiffened up. So the Jaguars come out again with two wide on either side, and they have Tony Van Hout now in at receiver on the right side of the field. Empty backfield. Dixon now in motion. And Baker looked to pass. He's looking over the middle, and he tosses nice and soft over the middle. Jacob Amano hit him in the numbers, and Jacob dropped the ball. He's got to hang on to that ball straight up. Baker did not throw a laser. He threw a nice soft ball over the middle. Jacob had it right in his hands and just flat out dropped it. That sort of thing with the spread offense, if we're going to have success on offense, we cannot be dropping the ball. Two wide receivers split wide to either side. We have Van Hout and Jones to our right. We have Dixon and Peterson to the left, empty backfield. Baker sends Dixon in motion. And this time he's looking to the right, and he wants to throw a screen that is picked off. It won't on number 67. That's the call. He's running down the left sideline. And Baker dives down and makes the saving tackle at the 18-yard line. I am not sure how Collins read that ball. Collins, the 6'5", 250-pound defensive end, just reached out, put his mitt on that ball and intercepted it and runs it all the way back down to the 18-yard line. And just like that, Hebner has a short field again. That is Baker's second pick of the evening. So 4:44 to go, and Hebner, a chance to extend this lead. Most they've scored this year is 48 points, so the prep defense not looking to cover itself in glory by giving up more points to Hebner than anyone else. Smith takes the ball, hands off to Britfield, who's at the left wing, cuts up the middle. He's down to the five before he finally gets gang-tackled. He's still not going down. Finally does, but not till he gets all the way down to the five-yard line. So gain of 13 for Britfield. And now the Jaguars have got another player down. Jesus Higuereta is down at the 20-yard line. He's sitting up. And assistant coach Kevin Ratuiste is out there. And he's trying to help Jesus off. Jesus at 255, and Kevin's not that heavy, so Jesus is going to be replaced by Brendan Merck. Brendan Merck, and I think Leo Delaney is also going out there. So first and goal for the Mustangs from the prep five. They come out in the wing tee. Kimball's in the backfield with Smith. And Smith wants to keep it, and then it's a delayed handoff to Kimball. And Kimball manages to squeeze down to the 2-yard line before he gets brought down. I believe that's Zarek Baker with the tackle. So gain 3, second and goal from the 2. Higuereta is still down on the sideline, being tended to by, among others, Arlene Jones, the school principal. Smith ends up making quarterback keeper, and he runs it in with 3:41 to go. And Hebner scores again. They've had 3 short fields, and they've been able to knock it in every time. They've had a 10-yard field, a 34-yard field, and an 18-yard field. And with Hebner's offense, there's no hope. You've got to make them go a long field, and you've got to stop them. Grebe on for the point after touchdown. And that is 2 in a row he's actually managed to hit. So 3:41 to go. Hebner totally in control now at 52-6. 3:41 to go here, third quarter. We'll be back with more. You're listening to Jaguar Football on 100.7 FM KHSS.
KHSS has a long tradition of broadcasting high school sports to our Walla Walla and Tri-Cities listeners over the airwaves of 100.7 FM and worldwide over the Internet. Since the fall of 97, KHSS has broadcasted more than 1,000 DeSales High School athletic contests. This year, we are broadcasting Tri-Cities prep games, and we'd like to invite you to be a part of it.
If you have a business and would like to sponsor our Tri-Cities Prep broadcast, or you know somebody who does, call us here at KHSS at 525-7878. That's 525-7878.
This is KHSS Walla Walla.
3:38 to go here, third quarter, and the Jaguars came out of the halftime locker room. They were trailing 32-6, but they played Heppner pretty close in terms of yard for yard. They had stopped Heppner on their final possession of the first half. They came out in the second half. They stopped Heppner then on their first possession of the second half, and it looked like Uncle Mo was getting ready to squat on the Tri-Cities Prep sideline. Since then, it has been short field by short field. Tri-Cities Prep gives up 35 yards on their first offensive drive. 10-yard field leads to a Heppner touchdown. Fumble punt results in a 10-yard field, resulting again in a Heppner touchdown. And then a long kickoff return results in a 34-yard field, Heppner touchdown. I've had an added touchdown there that doesn't belong. And then finally an 18-yard field, again due to an interception, leads to a Heppner touchdown. Mario Valencia got his kickoff from that touchdown at the 18. He hurdles a Heppner special teams member, managed to get past 25 to the 28, we're going to call that.
Jaguars ball, first and 10.
Ball spotted just in between the 27 and 28-yard line. Gavin Baker at this point, 2 for 5 for 22 yards, but unfortunately one interception. Still in shotgun, he has Dixon in the backfield behind him to the right. He has three wide receivers split to the left. Jones, Amato, and Riddle is back in the game. Peterson's on the right, and Baker wants to lead Dixon in a screen to the right, and Dixon had his man beat, but Baker threw that maybe a yard too far. Call that pass incomplete. Nice touch on that pass, trying to get it to Dixon while avoiding the defender, but just a little bit too strong. Empty backfield, three wide to the right. Peterson split wide to the left. Good to see Carter Riddle back in the game after making quite the athletic catch on the prior possession. And Baker throws to a wide-open Hogan Jones, who has no one within 10 yards of him. Jones gathers it in at the 35 and hustles up, falls down at the 38-yard line. That is very close. Very close to a prep first down. They're going to say it's 9 yards. Baker now 3 for 7. Two wide split to either side. Amato on the left end of the line to tight end, empty backfield. Baker takes a snap, wants to have a quick hit, and he was read like a book by Putnam, who was trying to go for another pick six. But this time he gets dragged down by Baker himself at the 20-yard line. So Baker throws his third interception of the game, second by Putnam, and again Heppner has a short field.
Ball spotted on the Jaguar 20-yard line.
Gavin not having quite as successful a half as he had in the first half. Gavin went 7 for 21 for 194 yards, as I recall, in the first half. He did have an interception, but he also had that 18-yard touchdown to Colin Dixon. This not quite so good. He is 3 for 8 for 32 yards and 2 interceptions. Smith, the quarterback again, fakes the handoff, ends up giving it to Bradfield from the left wing, who's going to run it in all the way. 20 yards for a touchdown. And the wheels are coming off. They have given, the Jaguars have given Heppner 4 short fields in this half, and Heppner's been able to exploit every one of them. They are now up 58-6. We can't seem to get Uncle Mo to squat on our sideline long enough to take advantage. Grieve on to the point after touchdown. And after having a horrific first half, Grebe is now 3-for-3 here with 40 seconds to go. It is Hefner 59, Tri-Cities Prep, not 6, rather. You're listening to Jaguar Football on 100.7 FM KHSS.
Canyon Lakes Golf Course is the Tri-Cities highest rated and most popular golf course. Buy your 2016 yearly or Twilight membership and get the rest of this year free. Buy your 2016 VIP membership for $395, and it starts today. Start your monthly membership for $100, and they'll prorate your current month. For more information, go to CanyonLakesGolfCourse.com. Why play the rest when you can play the best? Canyon Lakes Golf Course.
So what can you find at a Catholic Supply Company? A lot. School uniforms, books, gifts, cards, artwork, school curricula for parochial schools and homeschools, vestments, liturgical books, missals, and people who dearly love the Catholic faith. With their buying power, Blessed on First Catholic Supply Company will be able to save parishes and Catholic schools some money, and individual parishioners as well. Come see us at Blessed on First, 120 West 1st Avenue, Kennewick.
This is KHSS Walla Walla.
40 seconds to go here in the third quarter, and the route is on. Hefner has scored 24-27, rather. Unanswered points, and Grebe's kickoff is a daisy scorcher that ends up gathered in by Mario Valencia at the 16-yard line. He tries to run up the middle, escapes one tackler, escapes two tacklers, manages to get all the way up to just short of the 30-yard line. They're going to call it 29. And the Jaguars may get one playoff before the end of the third quarter. You're saying Valencia's down at 26? No, that's just a bad mark. Okay. Giving Valencia the 28-yard line. And with less than 10 seconds to go and the delay the Jaguars have in getting plays off, this is going to be it for the third quarter. Baker did just get the playoff. He's going to run straight up the middle, just past the 30. When the horn goes off, the Jaguars, when they start the second quarter, will have a second and 8 from their 30-yard line. We'll be back with the fourth quarter with Hefner firmly in control, 59-6. You're listening to Jaguar Football on 100.7 FM KHSS.
This week, beginning on Wednesday, September 30th, Catholic radio stations around the Northwest will join with Sacred Heart Radio in Seattle to share one broadcast, one fundraiser, to benefit each individual radio station. When you support our Share-a-thon this week, that support will come directly to Holy Spirit Sanctifier Catholic Radio, which built the radio station you are listening to right now, and which will keep this radio station on the air. Whether it's 100.7 FM KHSS Walla Walla, 107.3 FM KTNH Walla Walla, 105.9 FM KOLH Hermiston, 103.3 FM KFUZ Lewiston Clarkston, or our new Spanish station, 103.9 FM KSVM Walla Walla. Please pray for the success of our Share-a-thon and consider your financial support of Holy Spirit Sanctifier Catholic Radio. For more information, visit khssradio.com.
This is KHSS Walla Walla.
We're at the start of the fourth quarter. Tri-Cities Prep has a second and 8 from their 30-yard line. Hefner firmly controlled 59-6. Prep had a remote prayer to start that second half, down 32-6, but then Hefner outgained the Jaguars 80-4 in the third quarter, scored 27 unanswered points. And they are fully in control. Baker hands up to Valencia, who breaks through the ranks, and he starts getting on the right sideline, past the 40, past the 45, before he's finally dragged down. Mario Valencia goes around the right end and gets dragged down by Kobe Doherty. It could be that Greg Grant has his JV in. The Jaguars started at the 30, and Valencia rambled all the way to the 44. So that's a gain of 26 rushing yards there. Baker comes out. He has two wide to either side. He has Valencia in the backfield with him. And he also has Will DeTurry out as a receiver. So this is JD time. Valencia takes it down the right, then back up the middle, and he rambles You rambled down to the, I take it back, I said 44 earlier. He was from the 40. I take it back. It was the 44 of Tri-City Prep, and now he gets down to the 41. He gets down to the 41 of Hefner, so that's another first down. That's a 15-yard gain for Mariel. Jaguars have Jones and Turi to the left, and now we're going to have a timeout. Tri-City's Prep with 10:32 to go, and Hefner firmly in control, 59-6. We'll be back with more. You're listening to Jaguar Football on 100.7 FM KHSS.
Fall is now here, which means the weather's caught somewhere between winter and summer. But even as temperatures change outside, your comfort doesn't have to, because a new Lennox heating and cooling system from Campbell & Company preserves your comfort all year long. Right now, you can enjoy a rebate of up to $1,700 with the purchase of a qualifying new Lennox heating and cooling system. Go to TrustCampbell.com for details. Campbell & Company, trusted home comfort solutions for over 30 years.
Ideal Jewelry and Boutique in Richland carries boutique items such as clothing, purses, scarves, hats, jewelry, and more. Owner Tammy Davenport has designed many of the jewelry pieces herself, making them unique and one-of-a-kind, yet affordable. They also have a beautiful collection of handmade rosaries that you have to hold in your hand to fully appreciate. And 100% of the rosary proceeds goes to KHSS Catholic Radio. Visit Ideal Jewelry and Boutique at 1950 Keene Road, Q1, Richland, or call 366-1873.
This is KHSS Walla Walla.
Mario Valencia runs around left end and once again manages to break into the secondary. He gets down to the 30, so at least in facing Hefner's JV, the prep offensive line and Valencia tailback having some success. Jaguar come out in the spread, and they are running JV as well. They have got Van Hout and Dituri to the right. They've got Sebastian Spindola cut to the left. The handoff is to Valencia, who wants to run right. He's going to get met in the backfield, but manages to scramble back to the 30. They're going to say he pretty much got back to the original line of scrimmage.
On the tackle, Mario Valencia with the ball. Second down.
Then I take it back. They're going to give him a loss of one on that play. It's a second and 11. Dan Whitsitt giving a number of players an opportunity here. Sebastian Spindola comes up, and Dylan Shirky, 5'1", 100-pound junior, is going to line up split to the left. He'll be the lone receiver to the left. Got Dituri and Van Hout to the right. Valencia's in the backfield with Baker. And fake handoff to Valencia is going to act to lead Blaker. Blocker for Baker, who rushes into the secondary, and he's going to go all the way in for the touchdown. Baker up the middle and to the left goes 29 yards. And the Jaguars get their second touchdown of the day. Granted, it is not against Hefner's first string. Mario Valencia getting some quality yards in that possession. Gavin Baker juking and shaking and baking and managing to find his way into the left end of the end zone. Hogan Jones on for the point after touchdown. He's hollering for special teams folks to come out. Zarek Baker, Gavin's freshman brother, is the holder. Baker gets the ball down, and Jones gets the ball up, and like he does, when you give him a decent snap, there's no doubt, baby. Point after touchdown is good, so with 8:49 to go, the Jaguars manage to strike again. It is Hefner 59, Tri-City's Prep 13. We'll be back with more. You're listening to Jaguar Football on 100.7 FM KHSS.
If you have a family, you'll eventually need a good lawyer who is skilled at family law. Since 1976, Quattle Law Offices have specialized in all areas of family law, including child custody and support, adoptions, divorce, wills and estates, property divisions, and complex litigation. Pat Quattle was one of the first women to practice law in the Tri-Cities.
and has been recognized for outstanding volunteer legal services in the Tri-Cities community. Call Quata Law Offices today at 943-3331. That's 943-3331.
Prepare to have your car buy-in experience redimensioned. Joe Klein and McCurley Integrity Dealerships can get you the wheels of your dreams with a simple phone call. Whether new or used, whether it's for personal, business, or commercial use, and whether it's Chevy, Cadillac, Toyota, Honda, Subaru, Mazda, or Mercedes, give Joe Klein a chance to show you how easy it can be to buy a car through McCurley's fleet side. The money and time you'll save will astound you. Call Joe Klein today at 366-5159. That's 366-5159.
This is KHSS Walla Walla.
8:49 to go in the game. Tri-Cities Prep granted against JV. Just go on a 70-yard march. And behind the rushing of Mario Valencia and Gavin Baker punts the ball in. And they put now another 7 points on the board. It's 59-13 Hefner and Hogan Jones kickoff. Bounces at the three and takes a big prep bounce into and out of the back of the end zone. So that'll be his second touchback of the night. He's had three kickoffs and he's touched back two of them. So Hefner comes out now and they have a new fella quarterback. This appears to be Hunter Nichols, if I have the numbers correct. And he hands off to his lead back. His number I was not quite able to get. That was Caden Corbin, a 5'6", 130-pound senior. And the quarterback, if I'm reading this right, is Hunter Nichols. This is a 5'7", 115-pound sophomore. And he'll be handing off to Caden Corbin. Nope, I take it back. 22 is actually carrying the ball right now, and he's going to get dragged down in the backfield. It's Kobe Doherty at quarterback with Hunter Nichols on the carry there, but he ends up getting yanked down behind the line of scrimmage. Lost 7. The ball had been on the 24. Gets all the way back to the 17. So third. No, I take the. It should be 3rd and 13. Yeah, there we go. So Doherty at quarterback. He sends Nichols in motion, and the handoff ends up being to the upback, who gets met right now at the line of scrimmage. No going anywhere. Leo Schroeder, the freshman, puts the hurt on him. And another loss. Back to the 15. No, didn't make all the way back to the 13. Schroeder with a 4-yard loss. And Tri-City Prep's JV is at least getting the better of Hefner's JV. Hefner comes out in punt formation. Tom, it looks. Redfield? No, this is Bo Walters, a 5'9", 165-pound sophomore, is back to punt. And he gets off a wobbly end-to-ender that Dylan Shirky lets bounce at the 45. And his coaching staff says, get the heck away from it. And he finally does, and the ball goes past the 50, where it'll be marked down, I want to say, about the 47-yard line. So I said during halftime that the Jaguars needed to stop the Hefner offense, which they did on that first possession. And then the prep offense had to take care of things. They needed to keep doing what was working so well for them in the first half. Did not happen. Negative 4 yards in the third quarter. And Hefner scored with impunity on a series of short fields. And here we are, 59-13. And what we have now is what amounts to a JV contest. Which prep is leading? 70 yards for prep, JV. Negative 5 for Hefner. And Tri-Cities Prep did score the touchdown. Gavin Baker remains. No, Gavin Baker is not a quarterback. We have ourselves a new quarterback. This is Cole Hyatt, the 5'7", 130-pound freshman. He's got Mario Valencia in the backfield with him. And the reps are calling, saying we're having an issue. And Dylan Shirky comes out and Leo Schroeder comes in. Or Leo Delaney, Leo Schroeder, my apologies. It was Leo Schroeder. Delaney is his sister. Sorry, Delaney. Okay, Hyatt hands off to Valencia, who runs around left tackle and then gets shoved forward past the 50. Yeah, right at the 50. So they're going to see a gain of 3, second and 3. Yeah, the Jaguars have a whole different setup in here now. We have Hyatt at quarterback. We have Valencia typically at tailback. We have been seeing Sebastian Spindola at wide receiver. We've seen Dylan Shirky at wide receiver. We've got Tony Van Hout at wide receiver. Spindola, Van Hout, Duturi, and Zerick Baker are your wideouts. And the handoff is to Valencia, who cuts up left tackle and has his feet slip out from underneath him, but not before he gets 4 yards down to the 46. So third and about 4.
Third down.
From the 46. Hyatt in shotgun. He has 3 wide receivers split wide to the left, 1 start to the right, 1 to the left. And Hyatt's going to end up keeping it. He gets past the 45, past the 40, down to 37 before he's finally brought down by Keegan Gibb, a 5'7", 155-pound freshman. But Hyatt, with a 9-yard run, gives the Jaguars another first down. JV at least playing for pride here. We have Duturi, Van Hout, and Zerick Baker split wide to the left. We have 21. That is Sebastian Spindola to the right. The handoff is to Valencia, who manages to turn the right corner and then wiggles past the 35-yard line. They're going to give him the 34, give him the 33. A gain of 4 for Farah. That ball is just past what I would call the hash for 34. It's a gain of 4 for Valencia. And the Jaguar JV offense doing a fine job of redeeming itself against the Heppner JV. Shirky is going to be split to the right. Valencia is your tailback. We have Duturi and Van Hout split to the left. Baker is in at tight end. Hyatt is back to pass, and he's going way long. He wants Shirky, but he led Shirky by a good 15 yards. That's Hyatt's first high school pass, and Cole, to be honest, I'll tell you what, it was a pretty ball again, but it was kind of a case of rear back and throw, and Shirky does not have 15-yard arms. It's just not going to happen. So Shirky comes out. Spindola now is going to be split to the right. And Hyatt hands off to Valencia, who gets hauled down in the backfield by number 68. That is Trey Simiotti, a 5'10", 155-pound senior. And a third down and 6 becomes a fourth down and 12 as the ball goes all the way back to the 39. Spindola comes out with a play, 1:30 to go. Heppner is going to go to 4-0. The Jaguars, they are still searching for their first win. Hyatt in shotgun. He's got Valencia in the backfield with him. 3 wide to the left, 1 to the right, and the handoff is to Mario. He's going to cut up left tackle. He gets past the 40, past the 35, before he finally gets upended at about the 34, and the Jaguars are going to turn the ball over on downs. With the Jaguars, 89 yards here in the fourth quarter. Heppner at this point minus 5. These are largely JV reps here. And I will say, as an announcer, it is actually fun to call the JV names. Heppner comes out in the wing tee, handoff to number 36 that gets fumbled, and it is going to be recovered right in front of me by Sammy Para Escobar. First meaningful play from scrimmage for him. The 5'7", 165-pound defensive lineman, just like that, gets himself a fumble recovery. And a little moral victory found with that, but with 15 seconds to go, that was probably the last play of the game. jammy, though. Django's trying to rush out. Five. They want to try and get the play up. Three. Can Hyatt do it? He calls for the snap. We're going to get one more play up. And Hyatt wants to throw right. We've got a flag on the play. And Hyatt's pass is going to be intercepted at about the 10-yard line. That pass is intercepted by Hunter Nickel. He's been playing running back. And we're probably going to say that that there is the end of the game. So the Jaguars come to Oregon, and in the second half, they kind of get their backside chance. Hefner 59, Tri-Cities Prep 13. We'll be back with a game breakdown and an announcement of the Jaguars will be facing next week as they still search for their first win of the season. You're listening to Jaguar Football on 100.7 FM, AHSS.
Keeping your smile healthy is our number one goal at Gillette Family Dentistry. Since 1981, Dr. Gillette and his staff have been providing quality dental care in a friendly, caring atmosphere. Dr. Gillette's general, cosmetic, and sports dentistry always have you, the patient, in mind. Gillette Family Dentistry is located across from Broadmoor Mall at 9221 Sandifer Parkway. Call 547-0730 to learn more about how we can help keep your smile healthy. That's 547-0730 for Gillette Family Dentistry.
Hey, Dad, where do superheroes come from?
Oh, that's an easy one. They come from the Home Loan Center. That's just what we do at the Home Loan Center, help people buy homes of their dreams.
So if people want to get help from a superhero dad, they just go to the Home Loan Center and talk to you?
That's right.
You're awesome, Dad!
If you need a superhero to help you get started on buying a new home, call Tim Appleby at 527-3353 or online at gobestloan.com.
A division of American Pacific Mortgage, Tim Appleby, license 31404.
If you've ever been to the Sausage Fest in Richland or Vancouver, then you know firsthand that they're loads of fun for the entire family. Well, now Walla Walla has its own Sausage Fest at DeSales Catholic School. Complete with delicious sausage, those legendary Pepe salads, a beer garden, games, and all kinds of family entertainment. Rain or shine, come on out to the Walla Walla Sausage Fest the first Friday and Saturday in October at DeSales Catholic School, 919 East Sumac, Walla Walla.
This portion of the broadcast brought to you by Roach and Bishop Law Offices, located in Pasco, providing over 50 years of quality service in the practice of personal injury law, DUI defense, family law, estate planning, and probate. Roach and Bishop Law Offices, proud sponsors of Jaguar Athletics.
Do you know someone outside our listening area who wants to hear the game? Now they can listen on the web at khssradio.com.
Well, the Jaguars come into Hefner looking for their first win of the season, and they have a long road to hoe because the Mustangs are 2 years in a row state champion runners-up. They went undefeated this last year until they went to the state championship game against Burns, and Burns did succeed, but Hefner obviously had a very strong team last year. They beat the Jaguars 47-7, and this year they were playing a Jaguar squad, and Hefner returned most of their starters, and this year they're playing a Jaguar squad who is young and still trying to kind of find their identity, and I went in and thought, oh boy, it's going to be ugly. And in the end it was at 59-13. But at halftime I had reported, and I still maintain, that the Jaguars had a prayer. They were down 32-6. They had finally stopped Hefner on a 4th-and-1 on Hefner's last possession of the first half. And the Jaguar offense was clicking. The Jaguars in the – I got to make sure I have my notes properly in front of me here. In the first half, the Jaguars gained 267 yards. Hefner gained 314 yards. The difference in scoring took place because Hefner – was able to drive the ball in. The Jaguars stalled in the red zone. At one point, they had a first and goal on the Hefner 3 on their second possession of the game. And if they are able to punch it in there and tie the ball game, things can look decidedly different. But they got stopped. And consequently, Hefner then turned around and drove 97 yards. And in addition, they got a pick six later on and seemed to be putting play out of reach. But because the Jaguar offense was clicking well, I'd said if they can stop Hefner three times in the first half, and if the offense continues to perform at the rate they did in the first half, they had a chance at getting back into this game. And lo and behold, Prep, on their first defensive possession of the game, they did stop Hefner. Hefner only gained 16 yards. They were forced to punt. The Jaguars had the ball about their own 25-yard line, but then they, no, I take it back, actually, it was closer even to the 35-yard line, but then they proceeded to go into reverse. They hit between penalties and then finally a fumbled snap on a punt that put the ball all the way back at the 10-yard line. Heppner had a short field. They punched it in, and throughout the third quarter, Heppner was facing a short field. Heppner only gained 80 yards in the third quarter. 80 yards, but they scored four touchdowns. And the game went from 32-6 to 59-6, and now the game is out of reach. If the Jaguar offense takes care of business, that potentially still could have been a different game. But for whatever reason, the Jaguar offense, combined with a couple of special teams errors, was unable to take care of business. A somewhat successful day on offense, despite that poor showing in the third quarter where the Jaguars actually gained negative 4 yards. The passing game definitely had some success. Gavin Baker, 7-8-9. He went 9 for 25 for 212 yards. No, check that. That's 218 yards. Again, I'm wrong. That's close to 230 yards. With one touchdown, but unfortunately he did have two interceptions, and one of them was a very, very unfortunate pick six that helped put the game more difficult to manage in the first half. All that said, the Jaguars continue to grow on this far and away, ironically, despite the drubbing, was probably their most successful offensive half, the first half in particular, of the season. Now the question is, if they can put four quarters together, they may yet still find their first victory. And happily, despite the fact that Jaguars are 0-4, they're still looking for their first win. None of them against league opponents. So Blake, Stanfield, Mapton, now Heppner, Oregon, none of them are league opponents, and we still have two more warm-up games next week. The Jaguars are going to visit Umatilla to play a team that the Jaguars beat handily last year, and then they will travel the following week to go to Enterprise. That's going to be a three-hour trip, granted through pretty country, to have yet another warm-up against the Enterprise of the Outlaws down there. So hopefully within those two games, the Jaguar offensive defense can find a way to gel. Both sides of the ball showed signs tonight of being able to function on all cylinders. It's simply a matter of them being able to put four full quarters together. When they can do that, it's quite possible this team may yet have a successful season. But we did not see it tonight as the Jaguars fall to Heppner, 59-13. Tune in next week as the Jaguars travel to Umatilla. Once again, that will be a 7 p.m. kickoff. Tune in to KHSS for all of the action. We will have it here. We'll have the pregame. We'll have all the action first half breakdown, then all the action in the second half as we continue to root the Jaguars for finding their first win of the season. That will be all here from Heppner as the Jaguars fall to the Mustangs, 59-13. Tune in next week as we play Umatilla, 7 p.m. kickoff. That'll be all from Heppner. You've been listening to Jaguar Football on 100.7 FM KHSS.
We hope you've enjoyed this broadcast of Tri-Cities Prep Jaguars Sports Action on 100.7 FM KHSS. We now return you to our regularly scheduled programming.